Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call. That's 603-283-6160. And you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. That's the point of the show. With you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
And Riley.
And one really shocking story we're here to tell you about tonight that I just think is kind of hilarious. And also kind of sad, because I just, there are lots of things that I think about the whole transgender thing. And one thing I think is that some people really do feel that they are not supposed to be a man, they're supposed to be a woman, and then they do things that help them feel better about that. But I just, sometimes there's stuff that is being used under the auspices of that that is absolutely insane. And I don't believe, it's just so obvious to me that there's just something very wrong with this person, and they need like a holistic doctor to look at them and help them out. And in this case, I think it's one of those. It's like the people who want to be cats and they somehow think that they're thing as a transgender person. That's just like, no, you're not.
Yeah, I agree with that. I tend to think that if people want to be transgender, they're going to be transgender, but at the same time, it's not the government's responsibility or my responsibility to fund their surgery.
Yeah, and that has to do with like any surgery.
Yeah, and that being said, I agree with you, Bonnie, that, you know, some people really need to be a woman in a man's body or trans woman or whatever, and some people are just trying to fit in because they're not sure about themselves. They don't know what they are or who they are. And
there's probably a lot of that. Trying to fit in and be cool.
I don't even understand identifying as a different thing, because gender roles are they're made up. None of that is real. Mm-hmm. Like, you as an individual person are not defined by what is in your pants. Mm-hmm. And so I don't understand how that works. I don't get it. Like, I just feel like Lori.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the thing. Like, I can kind of understand. I mean, I can't fully understand is what I actually meant to say, but I can kind of see it in a way, because like, to me, like, everything feminine is just so much more fun than being a man.
But you could be a man and like all those things still.
Yeah, that's
some people
true.
Are.
You
could
wear
like
makeup. You could wear dresses. You can, you know, any of that. It's all made up. None of it is real.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want. Be anything you want.
Which is why I think that like transgenderism is valid, like going from one to the other. But I think it's not valid to be like, I'm a cat, obviously. And then it's like also not really valid to be like, I have a penis and a vagina, which is what this man is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just like, there's no one who normally has a penis and vagina. Well,
I guess there are some
intersex people, but like things don't both work, right? They're not like both fully functional and stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing about transgender people is they don't have full functioning penises or vaginas. They're surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to behave the same way. So it's sad that this person wants this, and it's also even worse how they want to fund it.
Yeah. I mean, that is obviously the biggest part, is that no one else should be paying for anyone else's surgery, period. But the other thing is, I mean, are you identifying as an intersex person, and why? Like, what would actually be like part of your soul? I should have been born intersex. I'm pretty sure most people who were born that way, it's a big burden to them, and they have to like choose. They always choose one or the other, you know?
Yeah.
They don't just go around being intersex.
Even if you identify as, I feel like a man and a woman, it doesn't mean that you need both sets of genitalia.
Right. Like, most trans people actually, like, say male to female, they don't get the surgery. Most of them don't, because they just want to live their lives a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they want to go destroy their organs.
Right.
So that's why I find it a little weird about this one. So do you have that story for us from Canada, Lori?
Yeah, this is from nationalpost.com. Ontario resident who wants both a vagina and penis wins public funding for unique surgery. A court has ruled Ontario must pay for penis-sparing vaginoplasty for a person who identifies as neither fully female nor fully male.
How will they even fit it down there? Penis-sparing vaginoplasty.
I have no idea.
I don't know either. Side by side. I don't know. Like,
one on top of the other?
Yeah. Side by side would be weird to have to be like off to the side.
I'm actually really confused too, because I thought that they have to use basically part of the penis in order to make the new vagina.
I thought so too.
So how, what are they going to do? Just like cut a hole?
I guess.
I have no idea. And why should the city have to pay for that? It's just, that's ridiculous.
It's crazy, yeah, that it's your neighbors should have to pay that, for penis
it's ridiculous
sparing
that we're forcing people. And that's what even, government is forcing people to pay for something.
Or even penis taking vaginoplasty. I shouldn't have to pay for anybody's transition.
Right.
Ontario has been ordered to pay for surgery for a resident who is seeking to have their vagina constructed while leaving their penis intact. Denying the procedure would infringe on the person's charter-protected right to security of the person, an Ontario court said in its ruling.
Security of the person.
Yeah, I don't understand what that even means.
They have some kind of weird constitution that's not a constitution, I guess. So something. I guess it's the charter, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about their charter.
The unanimous decision by a 3-member panel of judges of Ontario's divisional court could expand access to a novel bottom surgery for people who identify as non-binary, meaning neither fully male nor fully female. The Ontario resident identified in court documents as KS has been locked in a legal battle with the Ontario Health Insurance Plan since 2022 when OHIP denied a funding request to have penile-preserving vaginoplasty performed at a clinic in Austin, Texas. The surgery, which is not available anywhere in Canada, involves creating a vaginal canal or opening without removing the penis.
How? I wonder if, like,
I guess
I can
they just make
this.
A hole.
Yeah. How they do.
You know, I've heard a bunch of leftists claim that Canada and the UK are civilized because of free health care for everybody. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? This is free health care for you. Advocating for this surgery to be paid for by stolen money and advocating for suicides or assisted suicides to come by stolen money. This is a country that's civilized.
I'm okay with assisted suicide. I just don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm ethically opposed to assisted suicide. And so I don't want to be forced. I don't want to have to be forced to be paid to pay for an assisted suicide.
I agree. Or like, honestly, I don't even want to be forced to pay for your checkup, for your heart surgery, for anything like that.
None
Absolutely.
And the thing is, like, people will hear us saying that and think, oh, that's just selfish. You want people to die who need heart surgery. But the thing is, all healthcare works better under a free market. Everyone knows, like, tons of people who have died from the public health care if you live in Canada. Like, I don't know this girl, but I know someone who knows a girl that died because they couldn't get their surgery in time because of the Canadian healthcare. Literally, like, there are people that are killed by the Canadian healthcare system. Also, English, because they have the same thing. I mean, if you have ever heard, I really used to think this was a joke, or just some weird joke, but I started noticing just, like, in videos of, like, an interviewer or a reporter that is English, I'm like, wow, they really do all almost have, like, bad teeth. And then I've learned that that is actually because they have a free, quote-unquote, healthcare system for their dentists, too. So, you know, you can't get to appointments in time. They're not going to be very good because they're getting their paycheck anyway. The thing is, like, people's lives are saved with the free market.
They definitely are. Healthcare is so much better with the free market because innovation can happen in a free market and people can FCC thrive.
Well, and the whole reason that healthcare is so expensive is because of insurance companies being protected by the government.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. That's why healthcare is so expensive, because the insurance has monopoly in the government marketplace.
If you go and have a baby at a hospital, it costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So much money.
Hmm.
Like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000.
Wow.
A lot.
That's a lot of money.
When I had my daughter, my first, I had her at a birthing center, no insurance, self-pay. It was $4,000 for everything, plus 12 weeks of checkups afterwards, and all of my prenatal care, everything, the whole thing. All my prenatal care, the birth, and afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why is it that way? Is it because the insurances just kind of run up the prices of things just because they can? Because the government's going to pay it?
Yep. That's exactly right, because Medicare will pay for whatever, and so they charge you $300 for a Tylenol.
Hmm. They're also just, like, so incompetent in general. One time I went to the hospital just because I was at work and I almost passed out and I started throwing up and I got taken to the hospital by my boyfriend just because I was like, I don't know what's going on. I just really suddenly felt really bad. I think it was just food poisoning. But anyways, all they did was like keep me on an IV with saline solution for a few hours and like asked me like, are you okay? And I eventually stopped throwing up and felt better and I went home. And then we got a bill for $8,000. Mm-hmm. Well, it turned out that that was actually somebody accidentally just typed the number wrong.
Wow.
So like I might have been like, oh my God, I can't believe this, and started making payments on it or something. But I had to call and be like, this can't be right, right? Like this can't be true. And like get passed around from like insurance customer service person to the next. And somebody finally figured out somebody just typed the number in wrong or accidentally typed the same thing twice or something like that. So it was like not even the right number. And it was way less.
And most people don't check because Medicare is paying for it or your insurance company is paying for it.
Yeah, and that's what people do. They're not giving their due diligence to their health. They want the government to take care of it. And everything's going to be just fine if the government takes care of my health for me. Because after all, I can't be responsible for my health.
The other thing about it is something Riley said, that innovation can thrive in a free market, is just that you wouldn't be forced to if a doctor tells you like, well, this is the only thing we can do to save you, and you find an alternative person who thinks a different way and they're like, actually, we can try this and this might help you. You can do that in a free market. Sometimes you can't do that at all in a closed market like the Canadian healthcare system.
People should be free to try whatever medicines they want to try without the government saying otherwise.
I am not going to be able to read it while we're doing this on the air, but I don't understand. I just can't understand how you can do a phallus preserving vulvoginoplasty. What does that even mean? Like, I can't understand how you could do it without getting rid of your penis. It says, traditionally, it has been assumed that an individual who wants vaginoplasty would also want penectomy. But that doesn't have to happen. We're thrilled that surgical techniques are catching up to the many ways in which humans envision their bodies. But it doesn't really explain how it does it. It says a vulva isn't required either. Individuals can choose to have phallus-preserving vaginoplasty if the testes, I don't know what it's trying to say that there. I was thinking it was going to say like, oh, you can just add a clitoris or something. I don't even think they can do that.
No, because there's like nerves. So.
So like even people who get rid of their penis and turn it into a vagina, they don't have a clitoris?
I don't think so. I mean, they might have something that looks like it. Maybe like a flap. I don't know. Like a little flap. I don't know.
But that's kind of the whole purpose of having a vagina.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get rid of any feeling, just have a fake vagina. Well, I'm not them, so.
Yeah.
I kind of don't understand what.
Well, now they're going to get around that by having both, I guess.
Oh, that makes sense. So his penis is his clitoris. I keep being like, can I say this on the radio? But technically I can.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk about medical stuff on the radio. Just use medical terms.
Yeah. Well, that is all crazy. Is there more to that story?
I'm just talking about how it's against their human rights to deny that everyone else has to pay for their surgery to have both, I guess.
That's crazy.
It's silly.
I agree. It's entirely silly. And, you know.
And they're a bad person for thinking that everyone else should pay for this, too.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're the quote-unquote civilized world and the leftist fantasies.
Right, like, oh, don't you want everyone to have healthcare and be able to thrive?
Yes.
I do, but I don't want to pay for it.
Right, that's the great way to answer that, because, I would like for that to be the case. But I also know that without free, quote-unquote, healthcare, aka stealing from other people to give to other people, there would be some people that just choose not to have insurance. I actually don't have insurance. Like, I choose not to have insurance. That doesn't mean that I can't go and get it for myself, but I don't want it. Like, tons of, like, young men probably just are walking around being like, I don't really need that. Like, I'm not planning to go get a phallus-preserving vaginoplasty or something else crazy right now. And, you know, they can just save up their own money and if they have an accident.
There are like medical groups. I don't have insurance either, but there's a medical group I was subscribing to. You have like a subscription. You pay $70 a month and you can just go see your doctor as much as you want.
Hmm. Nice.
Yeah. That sounds really, really nice.
Yeah, it's right here in Keene.
Oh, are you talking about? Yeah, okay, you pay them that much money. Yeah, I actually was part of them too, and they were letting, I don't know if you're talking about the same one, but the one I went to called Monarca Healthcare.
Yeah, that's who I went to too.
They also accept cryptocurrency, which is really cool.
Yep, they accept crypto.
I need to contact these people and get decent healthcare.
I will totally do that with you off there.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
And these people, the people that Lori is referring to here in Keene, New Hampshire, they purposely do not take insurance because it makes life so much easier for them and is cost effective for them.
And they were great.
They are really great. And we're not even like sponsored by them or anything, but Ian and I went to them for a long time. I'm going to cancel my thing with them right soon because it's just like I keep forgetting to pay it and then I feel bad. And it's like I don't need to go to the doctor, honestly, like for almost any reason. I mostly just wanted to support the people that are taking crypto and also try out this, like, I don't even know what you call it, just like no insurance primary health care people.
Yeah.
I never really had that before, but I think I'm going to cancel it because I just, I don't know, I don't need it. I'm just going to eat right. And if I get in an accident, I'm not going to go to them anyway. I'd go to the emergency room. So,
They're useful if you have like an issue that you need addressed. You know, and then you can subscribe to their services for a while, get your issues addressed, and then go about your life.
Yeah. The other thing I've been going to is a, what's the word? Chiropractor. And I think that's just going to solve so many problems for me. Like, my back is already hurting a lot less. It barely seems like he's doing anything. Then I leave and I'm having these crazy like nerve feelings all over. And then like I feel different. It's so weird. Like the day after I have these things, I'm like telling people, like my friends I'm talking to, I'm like, it's like not really pain. I just have this strange feeling like somebody's touching me when no one's touching me. And I think it's my nerves adjusting. So crazy and so cool. And that's something that like the, oh man, I can't remember what they're called, but the evil government group of doctors who came together to say like what you can and can't do as medicine in America, they did not want chiropractors to be allowed to be involved at all. And chiropractors really had to fight for themselves to be included at all. And they made themselves a pretty sweet deal where they're able to operate, but they're also not really as restricted as medical doctors or like just regular medical doctors. But then there's tons of other types of healthcare providers that are just seen as quackery and they're not allowed in this group. I can't remember what it's called right now. It's like it's not the ADA. It's like AML, something like that. I can't remember what it stands for, but it's like the American, just, we decide what is and isn't right, a right way to do medicine. Stupid.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called either.
But do you know what I'm referring to?
Vaguely, maybe. I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
Like people who like do energy healing, which is absolutely valid. And we know that now. It's not just like, oh, well, the Chinese used to do it. Like that's absolutely, like that's valid in my opinion. See, but now with like quantum physics, we know that energy healing is actually completely scientific and valid, but they're completely kept out of the game.
So the scientific community would contest that and say that, no, it's not valid because there's no peer review work on it. And
well, that's so stupid.
Who cares? Yeah. If I want to go and have energy healing done, is it going to hurt me?
No.
So then why do they care?
I agree with you.
And even if it is, that's my choice. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and it's still your choice.
Right. So who cares? Why can't I just choose who I go to see for my medical care?
Right. And if you want to do an ayahuasca ceremony or two, who's right is that to stop you?
Yeah, there. No one else has the right to stop you from doing that. And as long as you're not asking them for money for it, it should be fine. And that's how I feel about basically every single issue is like, people should be able to do with their lives whatever they want if it's not hurting anyone else. And I wish that more people felt that way. And I think a lot of people think that they feel that way. Like, oh, of course I agree with that. Of course I agree that you should be able to do whatever you want as long as it's not hurting anyone else. But they don't think about these systems we have in place. They're just not thinking about it because it doesn't affect them daily. Like just like the police in general, what they do, road rules even. These things that restrict doctors and other businesses, they don't think about how when you're taking money from other people to control how they live their lives, you're actually not living up to that, oh, live and let live attitude that most Americans, I think they have. It's really annoying and interesting. And when you start looking at a story like this, it makes it more obvious to you. Well, I think we already basically commented that we think that is not right. to steal from your neighbors to give yourself a vaginoplasty where you preserve your penis. No real reason for people, your neighbors and friends, to pay for that for you.
If you want one, knock yourself out. But
right.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
Do whatever you want to your body. Don't make me pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about it is, I think, honestly, things like this kind of hurt the transgender community. Like, I'm not a part of it, so who am I to say? But I honestly think that there are people with an actual condition where they feel a certain way, like they were born a woman and they want to live like man. And just like stuff like this is almost just like a fetish that, mm-hmm. and they're just like, I'm one of those people too. I'm just like those people.
Yeah.
And probably making the lives of people who actually have gender dysphoria a lot harder.
Well, where does preservation of person end? Oh,
right.
I identify as someone prettier. I want a nose job. Pay for
right.
it.
That's
you know?
So true. I mean, there's tons of ways I could identify as, or anyone could. And yeah, it's like, why should my neighbors have to spend for a nose job?
Right. Bald guys, they identify as having hair.
Right.
Let's all get them hair implants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Like, I went to the airport recently and I was just thinking, like, what if I just told them I identify as someone who doesn't have to go through the x-ray machine and stuff?
They'd probably just laugh at you.
The two people I was with, host Chris Penguin and Colin, they refused the body scanner things. I didn't, because I was like, I'm getting to the airport and it's never really bothered me, like, honestly. And I was like, at least one of us will get through if you guys refuse it. But it was pretty easy for them, actually.
Oh, that's good to know.
It's kind of a side note there. Like, I waited longer. I, like, just stood around waiting for them to see if they were going to get refused, and they didn't. But, it took a little longer because they had to be like, hey, somebody needs to come here. And, like, and then they just got patted down. To me, honestly, what's the big difference between a body scanner and getting patted down? Like, I don't really want either of those things to
happen
to me.
Yeah, I don't either.
Flying.
I mean, I guess since I don't like to be touched by other people, I'd probably just do the body scanner.
That's exactly how I feel. And I still got, like, my wrists touched the first time. But it's not that bad.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. We're going to talk more about these topics and whatever else you want to talk about. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Riley.
And in the last segment, we were talking about what some people in Canada's tax money is going to, which is absolutely crazy. It's a surgery someone fought the government in order to get for free, quote unquote, from people who pay taxes, where, okay, so the term for it was a phallus sparing or preserving vaginoplasty. So they want both. They want to have both on them. And that's pretty crazy to me. It's crazy in general. Like, whoa, I can't believe somebody wants that done. But I don't think it'd be even newsworthy, except for the fact that they want their friends and neighbors to pay for it for them. They're in Canada, which they already pay for each other's medical care in crazy high prices and all that, because it's, you know, not a free market up there for their health care. They have state health care. But this next story we have here from USAtoday.com says residents of this state pay $987,117 in lifetime taxes. So that's very close to $1 million. And it says, guess which one? I wish I would have made myself guess, but I just like went through the article and I was like, oh, of course it's this one. It's New Jersey.
Gee, I wonder if anyone has been paying attention to freedom in the 50 states. And it seems like New Jersey is like at the bottom of the list, near the bottom of the list.
Do you know?
I don't know exactly. I just know it's near the bottom of the list.
I'll pull it up while we're talking about this. I definitely think it's near the bottom as well.
Yeah.
Oh, right here it says 47.
Oh, wow.
Overall
the
freedom.
The 47th freest state in the United States. So at the bottom of the list, of course.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to go there so bad and live. All those crazy taxes, all those governments trying to rule your life. Sounds like a life from... Oh, wait. I moved to New Hampshire because I don't like that.
Yeah. And they pay the most taxes. I wonder if they pay or have twice as good of a quality of life for these twice as high taxes as everyone else. I really doubt it.
Of course they do, Bonnie. They're the greatest place on earth. Don't you just see everybody flocking there?
I remember one time driving
from being sarcastic.
Massachusetts to Pennsylvania. And you know when you go into New Jersey because the road goes from fine to terrible.
Wow.
And then
that's crazy.
Fine again.
From which state to?
From Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Like, I was going to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, so when you go through New Jersey on that trip, the highway is awful.
Wow. Usually, like, states make a point to have their nicest part of their highways and the entering. Those people don't even care. You know,
this was a long time ago. Maybe it's nice now, but
like the crappiest parts will be, you know, when you're exiting the state, they pay less attention to that. That's what my dad always pointed that out when I was a kid.
Being government, you don't have to have a good road. You just have to have a road.
Yeah. What do they care about their reputation? You know,
yeah, they have nothing to lose.
Isn't it supposed to pay for the roads, though? All those tax dollars?
Yeah, it's supposed to.
Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
Right. Who would build the roads?
Who's going to build the roads?
I mean, I guess they built it. They just didn't take care of it.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't even probably build it. They had some third party build it.
Right.
Well, it's what government does. They hire out these third parties to build the roads, and they say, see, we built a road for you. We don't have to maintain it or anything. Isn't it great?
So this was published on the 11th, so about 6 days ago, but it says, with tax day approaching, which is usually the 15th, I think.
Yeah, so tax day was...
Monday,
yeah.
So with tax day approaching, here's a sobering thought. The average American pays $524,625 in taxes in their lifetime.
Wow, half a million dollars.
Half a million dollars,
Mr. and Mrs. America, are stolen from you at gunpoint.
Yep, and that's exactly what it is. If you don't pay it, you might find that out. The report also ranks states on lifetime tax costs. And if you live in the Northeast, you may want to sit down for this. New Jersey residents pay $987,117 in lifetime taxes, the analysis found. The highest tab in the nation. Washington, D.C. comes second with a lifetime tax burden of $884,820.
Why do people want to live in these tax hellholes?
I can't understand why. I can't understand it either. New Jersey.
What's the lure here? Why do people want to live in such terrifyingly tax-heavy places?
I've never heard of anyone being like, I would love to move to New Jersey.
Seriously, I've never heard of that either.
I haven't either. I mean...
Our good friend and co-hosts of Sometimes, Christopher Wade, who's Mr. Penguin, he is from New Jersey, and everything he tells me about it, I'm like, wow, it just sounds worse and worse
and
worse.
Yeah, I'm sure he's so glad he left that place.
And they say water, like, water. Like, I was like, hey, Chris, what is this? And I held up some water, because we went to Chicago, and I could talk about that in a bit. But I was like, hey, Chris, what do you call this? And he was like, water? And I just was like, I love the way he says it, honestly. Like, it cracks me up for some reason. And he's like, he thinks that the only way he's saying it wrong is like the ER part. He's like, I guess you're saying it kind of like with a ER and I'm saying it with an A at the end. I was like, no, it's the first A.
Yeah.
Well, the only A.
He's saying it water.
Yeah, kind of.
And we're saying it water.
It's
water, not water.
But I like the way he says it. I don't actually want to change him, so I hope I didn't bully him too much about it.
Yeah. All right.
The next worst states are Connecticut and Massachusetts at...
Taxachusetts?
Right.
That's why they call it Taxachusetts.
Connecticut is at $855,307, and Massachusetts is $816,700. The lowest taxed state is West Virginia, with a lifetime cost per person of $358,407. Which, I mean, that's not like, oh, think like amazing. You only get taxed that much per lifetime. But, you know, it's a much better place to live, I'm sure, than New Jersey. And it's right there.
Yeah.
And honestly, West Virginia is a way prettier state. New Jersey, like driving through that was like kind of traumatizing. Like,
I wonder how New Hampshire did on this.
Yeah, I'd like to see just a list of every single one. I'm not sure yet if that's in this article.
That would be really nice to see if the article has it. I don't remember if the article has it or not.
There might even be a link to it that I could pull up afterwards.
Okay.
Here, there's actually the report, so I'm going to open it in a new window, and I don't think we're going to be able to... Oh, yeah, you can. You can put your hand over New Hampshire. It says, those living in New Hampshire, the average... Whoa! It's... What do you... You guys should make a guess. It's higher than I thought.
$600,000.
I'm going to go $750,000.
Wow, Lori, you win. It's $722,610 per person for their lifetime. We're in the red.
Wow. That's... We got to fix that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We got to fix those taxes.
The best ones, along with West Virginia at number one. Number two is shocking. It's Louisiana.
Wow.
That, I mean, they're like such a... police state. There's so many cops driving around. I would have thought they spend like just as much money just on different things.
What was number one?
Number one was West Virginia.
Okay. Where did Utah fall on the list? Because it's my former state.
Number three is Alabama, by the way. So Utah, haven't seen it yet. Let's see here. Texas is about mid-pack. That's my former state, 531,000. Why haven't I seen Utah yet? I wouldn't expect it to be high. Okay, it's like exact mid-pack. It's 25.
Okay.
And it's at $493,368. We do have a caller on the line. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, your boy just voluntarily paid his taxes.
Wow,
Riley. Taxes on theft. The gun
hold
being
on.
Held...
What if I want to just pay a different company to do something?
Yeah. What Bonnie asked.
They don't own this territory. You got to move out.
Well,
it's just
neither
like
does
an HOA, Bonnie.
Neither does the contractor who's building the road for the government, and neither does, you know, Joe Biden.
What are you talking about? I don't understand.
You don't understand?
Have a nice
day. All of us, this collective owns the U.S. territory.
No, it's not a collectively owned.
Just like an HOA.
So you're a socialist.
Do you understand
where
that?
Where do you
right?
even
so
see the word collective, like, anywhere written down? Are you just calling it that? Because, like, that's an actual term. What?
It's called the U.S. citizenship and the representative.
No, U.S. citizenship is not a collective. That's not even, like, the right way to use that word. So have a nice day, Skeeter. I just hate him. He's just so, like,
he's
manic, and he just starts screaming. He can't, like, have an actual conversation, so I'm not going to talk to him.
Skeeter likes to argue, and he doesn't make sense when he calls in to argue with us because he can't defend his point very well. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he just says, because I said so, this collective owns the land called the United States. And I ask him, okay, where do you see the word collective written down?
Like, because we don't own the land. It's owned by a criminal organization calling itself a government. We don't own it.
Well, it's owned owned rightly, but it's basically, it's de facto owned because of the fact that they will kill you if you try to build your own road, but that doesn't
or
make it right.
Or start your own post office.
That doesn't
lock
mean that
I have
which should
to
tell
agree
you
with
that
the
it's not
it
owned by the collective of citizens.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
you can't just do whatever you want. You can't just, well, I mean, you can, but there are consequences.
Yeah.
if it was collectively owned by the U.S. citizens, then I could say I don't want to pay my taxes, and then I just wouldn't because I own it.
Right. And I don't want to, you know, have my husband go to prison because, well, I just don't want to put him there. And I own the prison, right?
Yeah.
I own the courthouse, right?
Yeah, you do, apparently. So I guess you better make sure that your husband gets out of that cage.
Just like, imagine being such a cuck too. Like, I voluntarily paid my taxes. Good for you.
Good for you.
So that makes it not theft for you because you voluntarily did it.
Right, exactly. He's like, what's wrong with you guys? I want to pay my taxes, so it's not theft. That's such a, like, fallacy there.
It's one thing to have your goods stolen from you. It's another thing to give it to your abuser because you know they're going to ask for it anyway, and that's what government is. It's an abuser. It's an abusive tyrant.
Oh, they have Munchausens.
That makes
sense.
No.
Oh, wait, not, the other not one. Munchausens. What is it
Stockholm.
Called? Stockholm. Yeah. Yeah, Stockholm.
I knew what you meant somehow.
Yeah.
Munchausen's
wrong syndrome.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to just flip on over to this article only, but I do want to know how they get these numbers, like, because New Hampshire is sixth worst, basically.
The property taxes here are pretty high.
Yeah.
So sadly, Utah's doing a little better tax-wise.
So
we better fix that.
Let's see what they're actually including in this. The worst states being taxed are New Jersey, then D.C., then Connecticut, then Massachusetts, then New York, then number six is New Hampshire, so let's see what they do here. It says, key statistics. The average American will pay $524,625 in taxes throughout their lifetime. That's a third of all estimated lifetime earnings. Whoa, you spend a third of your lifetime earnings on taxes. That's terrible.
That's terrible. I mean, could you imagine if it was like a tenth or a hundredth? Like a smaller portion? Like, why do we have to be stolen from by these tyrannical people? And
that
people
should make you way more mad when you see them wasting money on stuff like a penis sparing vaginoplasty.
And a third, what do you get to show for that?
Right.
What do you have back for that third that they're taking, that you're giving voluntarily, Skeeter?
Yeah.
Like, what are you getting?
Seriously, I don't need the stuff they try to give me, like a courthouse. Other people could deliver the mail. Other than the post office.
A lot of people, other than the post office, do deliver the mail, like UPS and FedEx, but they're not allowed to deliver letters because that's, you know, a monopoly that no one else is allowed to join.
So stupid. What else? A courthouse to put my husband in jail for not filling out paperwork. That's what I get in return for that one third of my life being a slave.
Congratulations, Bonnie. You put your husband in prison.
Wow. Yeah, I did it because I am the country. I am the government, as people say.
It's a silly argument to make because you don't own the government. You're not the government.
See, this is why I really...
Try building a road.
This is why I really disagree with Jay Noon's whole recent line of thinking where he's saying, well, we are the government. We just tell the representatives what to do and then they get it done for us.
That's not how it works.
No.
Just not how it works.
It doesn't work. It sounds like a nice theory, but it doesn't work in practice.
Even if that worked in practice, that's just not the system I want to be a part of. So why do I have to be forced to? That's the thing. I'm not going to call Jay Noon a sovereign citizen, but tons of people that think that way are sovereign citizen types.
Yeah.
That's like the main thing they can't get through their skull. It's like, okay, say you're right. What if I just don't want to be a part of that system?
But it doesn't work. Like Utah voted on legalizing. They were like, okay, we're going to hold a vote for legalization of marijuana. And the citizens were like, yes, we want it. And then Utah was like, just kidding. You guys can't have it.
We'll give you medical, but you can't grow your own plants.
Yeah.
No, they just
said
have
a fundamental right to grow your own medicine.
They said straight out, no.
I can't believe.
Just kidding.
They held a vote for that and they still said no. I think I've heard that, but I forgot. And that's just absolutely insane.
So that just shows you that they don't actually do what you tell them to do.
Nope.
Like, it's all a big farce. If they don't actually want it to happen, it's not going to happen. They just want you to think you have some kind of control.
At this point, I don't even believe that they actually elect the people that you vote for. That the people vote for.
Right. Who would know?
Utah has a terrible...
You just have to believe what they tell you.
I know that Utah has a terrible medical marijuana system right now.
Really?
Like, the dispensaries are owned pretty much by the state or licensed heavily by the state. And it's... From what I've heard, it's just not a good experience, like going to Vegas or Nevada or somewhere across the border. So Utahns should, and I say should, go across the border and buy their cannabis and bring it back across the border. I realize I'm advocating. Now, this is not legal advice. I can't give you legal advice on the radio, but that's just my opinion of what you should do. You need to stop cooperating with these tyrants. They don't. You can't. They can't sell you a right to sell a right for you to possess a plant by demanding you go to the special doctor and ask for permission to use this plant.
I agree. It's just one of the many examples of rights that you absolutely have given to you by the fact that you're a human, not given to you by the government, that they try to sell back to you, and it's disgusting. So other key statistics here on this study says tax on earnings is where most tax will come from, with the average American paying $270,414 in a lifetime just on their wages alone.
So are the places that pay more in taxes just because people have higher incomes?
Oh, that might be a huge thing. That makes a lot of sense because New Hampshire has higher incomes.
Mm-hmm. New Jersey, yeah. D.C., and then places like West Virginia do not have a lot of income.
I think New Jersey has like a double whammy of like they probably have higher income and just like tons of other crap that they get taxed for.
Yeah.
And New Hampshire also does have crazy property taxes. I think if I was a New Hampshire state rep, that'd be like the first thing I would think of putting a bill in about. I don't really know what they can do, but something. So owning the most popular car, a Toyota RAV4, whoa, that's what I have.
Wow.
I didn't know that was the most popular car, will cost an additional $38,889 in tax payments alone across the average four cars owned in a lifetime. In taxes, I guess. Tax on property will set the average homeowner back an additional $165,492 on top of the purchase price and running costs of owning a home. Taxpayers in Washington, I don't know if that means D.C., probably the state. Taxpayers in Washington will pay the most on everyday expenses, $83,014, followed by those in California, $78,191, accounting for food, clothing, personal care, and entertainment. So now we kind of know more about what they're getting out of these, how they got these statistics. Let's look at New Hampshire and see what it says here. It says lifetime earnings in New Hampshire, $1,674,402. It's a lifetime of earnings for the average person in New Hampshire. But lifetime taxes, there are $722,000, which is 43% of earnings.
That's insane.
That is insane.
Terrible. That's absolutely terrible.
Almost half of your income.
Wow.
Looks like New Hampshire has some work to do. Well, luckily we're here to fix New Hampshire, hopefully.
Yeah, change the culture here. One thing about it is I really think old people are more likely to be like, just pay your taxes. You have a duty to pay your taxes. I pay my taxes. And I think people are...
That money's for my Social Security.
Yeah. I think people are definitely changing their minds.
What Stockholm Syndrome does to people.
Yeah, seriously. Plus, like, the boomers, they were like, I advocated for all this crap to be given to me when I was old, so you better pay your taxes. Like,
no, thank you.
So, it says that this report comes from the personal... We're back on the USAtoday.com site. The report comes from the personal finance site Self Finance, based on research collected in January and February 2024. It considers taxes on income, home, cars, clothing, food, drink, entertainment, and personal care. But we do have a caller on the line. I want to get straight to him because I know he's calling from Australia, right? Jeremy?
Hello. Jeremy from Australia. I've got SIP. I hope I'm sounding better than I was.
You're sounding great.
Yeah. Thank you for calling on the SIP line. Sounds really good.
Am I right there in the studio with you?
It sounds like you are.
It does sound like it.
Fantastic.
Welcome to New Hampshire.
TikTok. Thank you. So the TikTok we've got from, it was 215 followers when I took it over, and now it's over 6,000. Trying to get it to 10,000.
Excellent.
But I actually called. I was wanting Bonnie to respond to a comment that was made. There was one of the videos was Bonnie talking about the guards at the prison stopping her from visiting Ian for a month, which ended up getting overturned, I know. Mm-hmm. But somebody commented, she's angry at the system for going through this. Perhaps she should be angry with her partner for breaking the law.
Wow.
So
terrible. Oh, some people are so cucked by the government. That's so disgusting. Honestly, it's just like, you break, this is what I would say to that person. You break tons of laws daily, and there's no way for you to possibly know if you're breaking law at any given time. There are too many laws in the United States for any one person to possibly know them all. When you drive down the street, you probably break a few laws.
You're probably committing 3 felonies a day.
No, it was 5. There was this book written that was saying that the average person commits 5 felonies a day.
Wow.
It might be 3. No, now you've got me confused. Or not confused, but questioning
myself.
I think
it was 3.
Okay.
I'm going to read it.
Either way, 3 felonies a day. And that's an old book. For all we know now, it could be like up to 10 because they don't take away laws. They keep adding them.
They want to make everybody criminals, and so they can come after them easier.
Aren't there more laws than any one person could read in an entire lifetime?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. So beyond that, beyond not knowing if you broke a law or not, this thing that they convicted my husband of doing was not something that is morally wrong and shouldn't be a law. So I'm not mad at him for
not
doing
only that,
something.
Didn't he get legal advice that it wasn't
right
against the law?
He did. He got legal advice from I can't remember what it is, some kind of financial commission, government bureaucrats in New Hampshire, and they said, we don't regulate that.
It wasn't just a lawyer that he hired, it was a government agent?
2 separate ones. There was a lawyer that he hired that said he looked at it and he believed that he was following the law. And another lawyer, and then the other thing was a group, a commission in New Hampshire that said, yeah, we don't regulate that. But of course, that's the New Hampshire laws. But for one thing, things that aren't given to the government, the federal government, to make laws on in the Constitution are given to the states. And I don't think that the government, the prosecution, actually proved that the federal government has any right to tell Ian what he can and can't do with cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency wasn't invented back then. And I think that the commission here in New Hampshire had it right when they said that selling cryptocurrency out of a Bitcoin vending machine is no different than selling candy bars out of a Bitcoin vending machine.
I'd agree with that point. And it's just really sad that these government bureaucrats think the federal government trumps the state government, and it should be the exact opposite.
Right. Actually, I heard them saying really disgusting things about that at Jason Gerhard, he's representative here in New Hampshire's trial. He went to trial and lost just last Tuesday, not yesterday, but the one before, for filming in the federal courthouse, and he's going to appeal it. He's not going to pay the fine, and that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch. You have anything else for us in these last few?
Well, yeah, just you said she was so cucked. I actually replied something to that effect, and she said, what about people who get tickets for going 10 kilometers over the speed limit? Do I agree with it? No. Do I speed? Yes. If I get caught, I own it like an adult and not blame the system for my behavior.
Well, she should watch my video on Free Keen, the YouTube channel Free Keen, where I got challenge and win and got rid of a parking ticket. She shouldn't be paying those either. Don't encourage these goons and parasites.
Never.
These
never
people
encourage
who think
these
they're,
thoughts.
They think that they're your owners. You have the right to drive quickly down a road, especially if you're paying for it. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. More coming up.
Hi, I'm Derek J. I don't want a politician to represent me. To me, government is the idea that one group of people can coerce everyone to comply with an edict or face increasing punishments up to and including death. Despite perhaps the most noble of intentions, the best government services are a far cry from what could be provided for by voluntary interactions. Besides, the people who call themselves the government wage wars and put peaceful people in jail for crimes involving no victims. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Yeah.
Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And I did want to say, because of our last caller from Australia, Jeremy, he runs our TikTok channel. I did want to shout it out and tell listeners to go and, I guess it's follow us on TikTok at Free Talk Live. There's no underscores or anything at Free Talk Live. And he's making, his goal is to get us to 10,000 followers. So thanks so much. I really appreciate anybody spending the time to watch videos on there and even comment, even the girl, he said, that asked me, oh, why isn't she mad at her husband for breaking a law instead of being mad at the system? Well, you know, I appreciate her even listening, and maybe like I've planted some seeds. Maybe Jeremy's helped to plant some seeds as well. So thank you so much to Jeremy. And yes, please follow us on TikTok at Free Talk Live. I'd also like to thank Carlos. Carlos is a platinum level amplifier. That means he's giving at least $25 a month to the Amps program. And we're really grateful to him for that. So that means that Carlos went to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. It stands for advertising, marketing, promoting, and supporting Free Talk Live. And that helps us out a lot. So we are very grateful to all of our amplifiers. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com to find out how you can become a member and get some perks and benefits and support the show. With you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Riley.
And I wanted to talk a little more about this story. I find it really crazy to really look at the actual numbers of how many dollars in taxes you pay in a lifetime and how much of your earnings go to someone else. It's no different than being a slave, even if it's only, 34% of your life?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, at what percent of your life are you not a slave? Is it 0? Is it 1? Is it 33? Is it 32?
Yeah. Working for that. I think it was 34% of your dollars you make. So
yeah.
That
so
percent
essentially,
of your life.
You're owned. You're a slave. You're pretty much a slave. The reason why you have, 60-some-odd% freedom is because the tax-paying cattle work better when they have the illusion of freedom.
Yeah, the other thing I think is also the Second Amendment. Well, okay, I don't want to call it that. I don't want to say because of the Second Amendment. I want to say because of the gun culture in the United States. They'd have a much harder time forcing us to do things now because tons of Americans have guns, and tons of Americans have tons of guns. Than they had in Australia. They had a super easy time telling them during COVID what to do and, like, absolutely over-the-line, crazy control. Like, nope, you can't get fast food from one city and bring it to another. No, you can't even leave your city and just, oh my God, some crazy stuff there.
You can't go swim in the ocean.
Wow, that's so crazy. Yeah, not that it was, like, great here or anything, but it would have been 10 times worse if we didn't have guns. But I also do agree with what you're saying, Riley, that one of the things that they do is give us somewhat of an illusion of freedom. And one of my friends, who's not a libertarian or anything from Texas, kind of got into this conversation with him once where I was saying we're not really free in America. And he was like, it's worse here than in like a communist nation. And I was like, why? And he was like, because at least in like the communist nations, they're like just giving it to you straight. They're like telling you like you're owned by us. And you make like this illusion, this like lying is just so much worse. Like people really believe that we don't live in like a communist nation or like that are.
Yeah.
Our politicians are our servants and they work for us when in reality, no, we are completely victimized by these people and they're parasites on the people who are actually productive in life.
Well, and your gun rights, they tell you which guns you can have, what kind of bullets you can have.
Right.
So that way you feel like you're secure until they roll up to your house with a Bearcat.
Yeah.
And a machine gun.
And fully armored and right.
I still think like when they're targeting one person, like it's absolutely... it's not even going to work if you just try to shoot at them. But I still think that all of the people having lots of guns makes it harder for them to just, go out and force everybody to stay in their house and force everybody to do this and that.
I mean, they did that.
The government to be more accountable too.
But they did, but they couldn't go as far as they did in other countries, like locking people in their apartments.
Maybe.
I really think that I think that's a huge part of it. I'm not saying it's the only part. Like some of it might be strategy. Like they purposely didn't want to go too far.
I really hope it doesn't end up in America the way it did in Australia.
I think a lot of people are too scared to do anything back.
Yeah.
Like to stand up for themselves.
That's true.
Well, when you abuse people so long and indoctrinate people so long and showing all these crime shows, they're going to think, oh, they're going to come after me.
Yeah. The other thing about it is it's like they wouldn't want to stand up. Like tons of people legitimately were just like, I'm just doing what they tell me to do because it's the right thing to do. Why? Yeah. Because they told me to do it.
Don't want to cause any waves.
Yeah.
Just go along to get along.
So that's definitely a huge reason I wanted to come to New Hampshire, because there's a group of people coming here for something called the Free State Project. And I just don't want to be around the type of people anymore who just go along to get along. And, you know, my life is being destroyed under the boot of the United States government, those goons and killers and lunatics and thieves. And despots. All the people around me are just saying, like, well, just
go along to get along. It's just the way it is. We
it's not a big deal.
We just got to vote for the right people, and hopefully they'll make it less. Hopefully we get beaten less by the slave masters.
Yeah, I can't deal with that kind of cuck mentality anymore.
I can't either. It's ridiculous. I'm not interested in being cucked by the state.
Right. So this article we were getting into in the last segment was telling us that one state, it ended up being New Jersey, pays $987,117 in a lifetime in taxes. And New Hampshire was sadly not far behind. It was like $766,000. It also has to do with like how much money you make. So like the average lifetime salary or earnings, at least in New Hampshire, are a lot higher than, I think, the highest in the country, if not like one of the like top three. Like, maybe Massachusetts is a bit higher. So anyways, let's look at these other stats they give us. It says taxation is on many people's mind, given the looming April 15th federal tax deadline, because this was written on the 11th. Quote, around this time of year, everybody has this come to Jesus moment. Oh my God, does it make sense to stay? Oh, I guess they meant to write, oh my God. That's so weird that they wrote it like that. It's O-M-I-G-O-D. So, huh. Oh my God, does it make sense to stay in the state of California or the state of Connecticut or the state of New Jersey? Unquote. That's Katie Song, chief financial planner at Domain Money. The COVID-19 pandemic, aka the lockdowns by the government, allowed many workers to live far from their employers. Millions of Americans have migrated from state to state in the pandemic years, untethered from the office by the remote work boom. The number of people who moved between states rose from roughly 7.4 million in 2019 to 8.2 million. What does that mean? Moved between states. So just moved to one state to the other?
I'm guessing so, yeah.
So it went from 7.4 million to 8.2 million from 2019 to 2022. New Jersey, the state with the highest taxes in the Self Financial Report, lost the most residents to other states in 2023, according to the annual National Movers Study from United Van Lines. Wow, I think in 2020 it was California, and so now it's also people are like, you know what, we need to get out of New Jersey too. Probably because of a lot of the crap they're doing to people during the lockdowns, like taking their kids from them.
I mean, the government response was a terrifying response, and we saw what happened. I mean, they didn't march us off to a concentration camp. They just made home a prison cell for you. You can go out for a good time if you're a good boy or girl.
You could barely go out for a good time. Like, they had cops just walking around between tables at the gay bar I like to go to in San Antonio that normally I don't really sit at a table there. I'd be standing around talking to people. They forced you to sit at a table, wear the mask, so you sat down at the table. You couldn't stand at the bar to order. They had to come to you like a restaurant, which wasn't normal either. No karaoke. We're like, okay, let's get out of here. This is creepy. And there's like a cop, multiple cops patrolling this small bar, just like walking past your table. What else could that be for other than they want to get you used to control? Like, how did police walking past my table even help me in the situation?
They're
going to
shoot the germs.
Yeah, they're going to shoot the germs. They're going to shoot the COVID virus away with their magical badge guns.
They will taser the COVID virus if it comes from one table to the next.
That's just so, I mean, like, they might as well be just straight up advertising it like that, because how do you actually justify having cops in a gay bar just where people go to do karaoke and have fun?
COVID 2020.
So they could arrest someone if they sneeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's absurd.
COVID 2020 is, in my opinion, a warm-up act for the tyranny with which they want to inflict upon you.
Yeah, they want to see how many people were going to go along with it.
Mm. And a lot of people chose to go along with it.
Yeah.
In the name of, oh, I got to take care of my neighbor. It's Jesus told me to love my neighbor. It's loving my neighbor to wear a mask. It's loving my neighbor to get a vaccine.
I love you, but stay 6 feet
away
from me. Stay
away from my body, government. How many times do we have to tell you this?
So I was looking up how many people, how many residents there are in New Jersey.
Hmm.
And there's 9.262 million people.
Wow.
In New Jersey. So times $900,000 per lifetime times $9.262 million. So like over 70 years. Mm-hmm. How much money is that? Do you think that the government in New Jersey needs that much money to run?
Probably not.
Probably like, not.
To build your roads and to run your schools? It doesn't need all that. Where is it going?
It's slush funds.
Yeah.
Slush funds, of course.
And a ton of it is going to the federal government.
Right. So, and then all of these states are giving that money to the federal government. I don't know how anybody's okay with paying all of this money in and not seeing a problem here. Like, do you think that maybe your community got together, they would have to pay as much as they say you need to pay? Probably not.
And then if you ever try to actually utilize some of the perks and benefits you're supposed to be getting from
you don't get
taxes,
services from them. You get raped.
Yeah, seriously. It's like so complicated. It's way worse than it normally would be. We do have a caller on the line. One of my favorite callers. We have TJ the Spy from Colorado. TJ the Spy, what's on your mind?
TJ.
How's it going, Riley and Davani? Are you guys holding up?
Oh, dude, we're doing good for the most part.
You Lori know? Is here, too. I don't know if you met Lori while you were here.
No.
I haven't met Lori.
Hi.
What's on your mind, TJ?
Hello? I wanted to just call in and let you know that May 17th is the deadline for the Ian Freeman's appeal of his criminal conviction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was just like, people were asking me at the, like, what's going on with his appeal and what's going to happen. I said, well, they've enlarged extended the briefing filing deadline to May 17th. And then the government has 30 days to file a response. And then the Ian has 30 days to file another response to their response. And then the government has 30 days to file a fourth and final response. So anyway, it looks like May, June, July, August. It looks like this will be going to oral argument sometime in August, unless there's more delays.
Yep. So I'm kind of excited, honestly, because sometime in May, I've been told Ian's lawyers will be filing their first paperwork for the appeal. I'm not really sure what this paperwork will be called, but they'll be filing.
It's called the principal brief.
Their principal brief. Wow, they have all these stupid names for this crap.
They do.
Yeah, there's the principal brief, there's the reply brief, there's the sir reply, and so like it's basically a two-round volley. So you got your one, two, like the response, and then you get like, well, what they forgot in the response is this, and then they get a fourth and final say, and then once they've done those two back and forth, then it's time for oral arguments.
All right.
And that's where we can go. We can actually go, you know, when they have that, we can actually go and hear the oral arguments, I think.
Oh, I was asking Ian that recently. He said he doesn't know for sure, but he'll find out for me. But definitely if they do, I want to go.
Probably I'd can't love record. To go as well.
I doubt they'll let you record. It's probably like a federal courthouse. I don't know if it's in Boston. Is that where it's going to be?
Yeah, the First Circuit Court of Appeals, wherever they're headquartered, I think they're in Boston, because they have jurisdiction over New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Maine.
Okay, well, hey, did you hear the question that a girl on TikTok asked about my situation with Ian?
No, I didn't. What was it?
So a girl on TikTok, apparently, the man who runs our TikTok, his name is Jeremy West, he called in to say that a girl commented on TikTok and said, why is Bonnie mad at the system? Shouldn't she be mad at her husband for breaking a law? And I want to know what that makes you, what do you think about that?
Well, you have to understand that Ian is on a mission from God to get Bitcoin in the hands of as many average Joes as possible.
Yeah.
And whenever you try and do something like that, you're going to get, you know, jail time. And I'd like to, you know, just take this moment to tell about the story of Paul and Silas in jail.
Okay.
And nothing, not even jail could stop them from offering salvation to the prison guard when the earthquake came, and the prison guard was about to kill himself because, oh my God, the prisoners escaped.
Yeah.
And Paul and Silas said, "We're still here." And the guard said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Paul and Silas said, "Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." And then that was the first convert or proselyte to the Christian church. And I just said, Ian's kind of like Paul and Silas in the fact that, you know, prison is not going to stop him from selling Bitcoin to the average Joe.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if he intends to keep selling Bitcoin, but he'll definitely keep proselytizing, you know, getting people to understand it. And that's another thing. Like, they've kind of created, like, something that can't be stopped in getting arrested. Like, I'm always telling people about Bitcoin. I've gotten, honestly, countless people at this point to be able to understand and use cryptocurrency like I just talk about on the radio. And on top of that, just people in real life come to me. Today, I got somebody to download their first ever crypto wallet and sent them some. Like, I do it all the time.
Yeah.
That's so cool, and Bonnie.
Thank you.
My response to the person who said, "Shouldn't you be mad at this, you know, your husband for breaking the law?" And say, "Well, he didn't break the law. He was a dupe, a patsy, a fall guy. You know, and we can go back and rehash about what coulda, shoulda, would have been done. But the fact is, a jury of 12 has spoken, and whether we agree with it or not, you know, that's what, you know, they've said." And I kind of view it as, Ian, if he wants to donate the money so that all the scam victims can get their money back, I think that's a good thing. I just wish he didn't have to do it, because that 100 Bitcoin that he lost is a lot of money.
It sure is.
Yep, but it's definitely a lot of money. Divided it up among the people that lost a lot of money getting scammed by people other than Ian.
Yes.
But for some reason, the government said, "Well, somebody's got to help these old people.
Somebody's got to pay."
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay, and Ian was the one that was, you know, his name was the one on the that they could identify. Everybody else was in Nigeria or South Africa, or
everybody else, you know, were the actual scammers. Ian was used by those scammers just as much as the old people were. So it's actually kind of a ridiculous and sad situation of a victim really getting told to pay restitution to other victims, but. Hopefully he will win in the appeal.
Well, I thought about contacting some of the witnesses that testified against Ian, because Ian's not allowed to talk to them because there's a protective order.
Yeah.
But I certainly can, because I would want to tell these people, "I'm so sorry you got scammed, but Ian Freeman didn't know that this was going on. And if he would, he wouldn't have participated. And we're happy to donate, as members of the Shire Free Church, 100 Bitcoin so that you can get your money back. Please don't do this again."
Right. The other thing about it is, like, it was so clear during the trial that Ian worked to help tons of people not get scammed. It was clear that he was trying to identify scams and stop them in the process. He worked with law enforcement at one point. He contacted an old lady's son, went out of his way to find this guy, contacted them and explained what was happening when he just saw red flags with his mother, and saved her $11,000. The jury clearly just wanted to tell him say he was guilty. Clearly that's all that this was about.
I mean, and it's one of those things that if I was on the witness stand, I'd say, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, he didn't do it, and I can prove it," because in all those emails they produced in court, they didn't show one email where he said, "Yeah, good job, Mr. Scammer, on scamming Mary Heard. I don't care if she got scammed. I want my 10% cut."
Yeah.
Yeah, they obviously didn't show that he was in collusion with this.
If they could have shown one email between him and the scammer where the scammer said, "I'm going to defraud this lady, and can you help me, and I'll give you a percentage of the cutback," then that would have been game over. Well, it was still game over because the jury convicted him. But I think he would have had a lot better chance if it's all the things we could have done differently. Like, instead of Mr. Heroin Dealer, you should have said, "Absolutely not. No, you may not use my Bitcoin ATM, Mr. Heroin Dealer."
If you suspect that somebody is a Fed trying to get you to do something bad, you should just tell them, "I think you're a Fed." Unless you're in a dangerous situation where they may attack you, you should say, "I think you're a Fed and I don't want to talk to you anymore. And if you're not a Fed, sorry, you need to stop acting like one." Because the thing Ian did was he wanted to string him along and see what he would keep doing. And That was probably his worst mistake.
And that's probably his mistake. Yeah. And knowingly, of course, that was my language, because he asked me, like, what does the law say? And I said, well, you can't. This applies not just to Bitcoin. It's car salesmen or anybody who runs a business. If you knowingly accept the money that is proceeds of a specified unlawful activity, you don't have to know which specified unlawful activity it is. You just have to know or have reasonable cause to know that the money is tainted by unlawful activity. If you knowingly accept that, that is money laundering. 18 U.S.C. 1956 and 1957. So how many people know that? Like, you know, they're kind of like, if I was a car salesman, the guy said, hey, I'm a drug dealer, I want to pay $50,000 cash for a Mercedes or 10 Mercedes. And the sales guy's looking at the commission he could make, and all he has to do is turn a blind eye to that statement of, I'm a drug dealer. And, you know, so it's an easy way to, like, a lot of people can get in big trouble for money laundering if they accept funds that are tainted.
Yep.
So.
And the other thing that is absolutely crazy about Ian's case is, even if you went up there and said, ladies and gentlemen, there's no email where he says, good job, Mr. Scammer. Well, they would just say, well, it doesn't matter, because all we have to prove is that he was willfully blind. And that just means that anyone in this situation would have started to realize that these people were getting scammed. So really, Ian got convicted on thought crime. Basically, the government was saying, we know what you were really thinking, whether or not you followed every law.
I don't know if Mr. Sisti brought this up, but like, there were 6,000 legitimate Bitcoin transactions in Ian's local Bitcoin history, and about 40 of them were fraudulent. So that's a fraud rate of less than 1%. So, that's enviable from any credit card company if you can get a fraud rate of less than 1%. So I think he did a really good job. I would have pointed that out to the jury, that if he was running a scam, he would have catered nothing but scammers. Well,
thank you so much, TJ, for the call. I love hearing from you.
My pleasure.
603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. More coming up.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way.
Love as your guide.
And liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com.
That's church. ShireSociety.com. It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. Call in with whatever is on your mind. You can change the subject or bring up whatever you want to talk about or comment on what we're talking about. It's up to you. That's 603-283-6160, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
Riley.
And sticking with kind of the theme here of money and taxation in the United States, this is CNBC.com, says Costco selling as much as $200 million in gold bars monthly. Wells Fargo estimates.
When I saw that headline last week, you know, gold and silver had been going up in price. So when I bought silver back at the end of March, it was around $25 an ounce. Now it's up to almost $29 an ounce.
Oh, wow. Silver, you said?
Yeah. So, I mean, my investment's gone up a few bucks.
Yeah, already.
But when I saw this, I got really excited because Costco is promoting gold? This is exciting.
I always get shocked I get shocked all the time by the things that get sold in Costco. Like, they actually have birth control. You can buy like a 3-pack at Costco over the counter.
Wow.
And it's
really cool.
It's like the real stuff, like Norrest. I don't know right now. Can't remember what it's norestrogen. I don't know. But yeah, like regular birth control. I found that really weird. I don't go there or shop there. I don't even know if there's one near me. And I never really have shopped at Costco. But sometimes I'll see something like that on the internet and I'm like, whoa, that's weird. Or that they sell gold.
I was under the impression that you had to have a prescription to buy birth control.
Right? I thought so too. So I don't know what state that was in. Maybe I should have like looked more into it, but I saw like a picture of it and people talking about it on Twitter.
Interesting.
Like, that's crazy. But it was like more expensive. Everybody was saying like, oh, with my insurance, I don't pay, like, I think it was like $70 for 3 months supply. I pay
right, because we're
that.
All paying for your birth control.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So I guess you can buy gold bars at Costco. It says gold has turned into money for Costco. What? Gold has turned into money? Okay, anyways. I guess money's a legal term, so I don't really care that much what they want to call it. But gold has turned into money for Costco, where yellow metal sales begun last year have turned into a cash cow for the big box retailer. In fact, sales are so brisk that analysts at Wells Fargo expect revenue may now be running at $100 million to $200 million a month, a rapid acceleration since bullion hit the warehouse club late in the summer of 2023.
The thing I find most exciting about this is that a lot of people are waking up to the fact that gold and silver are actually real money. And what's exciting about that is we have been lied to about the paper notes and the digits in our bank account. That's not real money. That's fake money. That's not sound money. Yeah, we have a digital representation of money as a cryptocurrency. We can exchange that around the world. But gold and silver have had value for centuries. And the reason why they have value is because they're useful. And Silver Dave has said that on this show. He said it's useful. It's useful for electronics and things like that. And people have found its use and value in societies, in major civilizations. So we treat it as money. And we value it as money because it's money.
Yep. And it's just nice for people to be able to just see it in the store too. Because like, honestly, I don't think I've ever been just walking in a store and, you know, you walk past the potato and you walk past the razors for shaving your legs. And then you walk past the gold bars. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think so too.
Usually I feel like you got to get it online or buy it from a gold and silver shop, which I've never even been in one. You kind of got to go out of your way to buy gold most of the time.
I've only been in one silver shop. Well, maybe two. I went to one briefly in St. George, and I've been at Silver Dave's shop.
I actually haven't been to Silver Dave's shop. It's local silver mint here in New Hampshire. Yeah. And I also misspoke on that day, and I keep forgetting to correct myself. Silver Dave is the only person who mints silver in the state of New Hampshire. I just meant that somebody I knew somebody that had a shop, but I accidentally said a mint. But yeah, Silver Dave is the only person who mints his silver in New Hampshire. I guess I just didn't realize what that meant. I guess my brain was just thinking a silver mint means silver shop for some reason.
Yeah.
But apparently that means like actually making it into the shape and everything that you
I think he's
into.
Made some cool stuff. Like
me too.
A sterling silver sword. That's dope.
I thought it was pretty funny that Peakless Mountaineer was like, that is an inferior sword. Because technically it would be against something stronger, but
yeah.
It's just cool to have.
It is cool to have.
I don't think he's going to get into a sword fight anytime soon. So
yeah.
It's just a way to,
fine.
It's
that
a way to conceal your wealth.
Sword.
You know?
That was cracking me up. I actually kept quoting that night. But anyways, so the sword is more just like, it's only like a foot long too.
Yeah.
It's more for, I think he said 17 inches actually. It's more for, it's like a stacking tool. It's like something that somebody could have displayed on their wall or something like that instead of having all of your silver in
a safe or somewhere you can stack.
Yeah.
You can,
or just like
make it sword, you know, and put it on your wall.
Square blocks or circular and rounds, which are cool too.
I like what Silver Dave has done with silver, because instead of giving everyone in silver dimes or whatever that are somewhat percent silver, he's made a 1/10 ounce piece of silver.
Yeah, those rounds.
That we can hold in our hands. And we can give it to people.
He gives away a lot, too. It's always shocking me.
Like, it shocks me, too. He's just giving away stuff. Like,
very valuable stuff.
If there's a God, I hope that God really blesses him.
Oh, yeah. I think he's blessed. He has a lot of friends, and he lives in the free state of New Hampshire.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, this person, Edward Kelly, an equity analyst at the bank. Why does it say at the bank?
Wells Fargo, because they were mentioned.
Oh, okay.
The bank.
I was like, did I mention a bank yet? Okay.
The one bank.
Yeah. The one bank of the world. The bank.
He said on Tuesday, our work suggests there has been significant interests giving Costco's aggressive pricing and high level of customer trust. What does aggressive pricing mean?
They probably have a bigger markup than other gold sellers.
Oh.
I don't know. Hmm.
Or maybe a lower.
Necessarily a markup. I know with Costco, you get bulk items cheaper.
That's usually true. So what does that even mean, aggressive pricing?
They're aggressively trying to compete with the market price.
That's probably what it is, actually.
Awkwardly phrased.
Yeah, it is. It says the accelerating frequency of Reddit posts, quick online sellouts of product, and costs. It's just calling it cost. Cost company. That's why it's just calling it cost. All right. And costs. Robust monthly e-com sales suggests a sharp uptick in momentum since the launch. This is just kind of cracking me up, though, because I just saw, what's it called? Idiocracy for the first time.
Mm.
And everybody's always quoting it to me. I was like, I know, I have to see it. I know. So I finally watched it. It was so much funnier than I even expected it to be. And one of the things is Costco is just this huge, like, as big of a city place, and it's all run down and gross. And when you walk in, the greeter is saying, like, welcome to Costco, I love you. Welcome to Costco, I love you.
In a monotone voice?
Yeah, everything
welcome
is just...
Welcome to Costco, I love you.
Everything is just kind of looked at in the most, the smallest, you know... what am I trying to say? Everything is just done, like, so... They have a church there called St. God's. Everything is just reduced and reduced and reduced to the dumbest a person could possibly be and still survive. So that's why when they walk in, it's like, you know, you're supposed to say something to make the people feel good. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Yeah.
So funny. And it just makes me think that one day Costco is going to be like the only thing all over the place. In only place you could go buy stuff. I hope that doesn't happen in the free state of New Hampshire, but I feel like tons of people would just be like, what? It's convenient. Everything is in one store. We don't have to have two stores.
Well, yeah, that's how Walmart and Amazon and all those. I think Walmart was, I don't know if they still are, but they were the number one employer in the country.
And, you know, I've always found this kind of an ironic and weird thing about communists is the fact that they're against, like, well, if there was a government... if there was, you know, no communism, then we'll have like government monopoly, or, you know, not government, but business monopolies and blah, blah, blah. And they will not pay their workers enough. And all you're doing is creating a monopoly with a different name called the government. Stupid.
It is stupid.
They just give businesses monopolies.
Yeah, that's exactly what they would do. If Costco was the only thing in the world, the only thing in the country and the only thing approved by the government to operate, and they got money from the government, and all the employees were paid government workers, it would be no different than if it was just called government store. No different. So, if Kelly's assessment is correct, that would represent quite a move for a product that only debuted last August and generated about $100 million in sales in Costco's fiscal first quarter that ended in late November 2023. Costco is selling 1 ounce bars made of nearly pure 24 karat gold. While the price is not disclosed online to non-members, it's estimated that the product generally sells for about 2% above the spot price. Well, that's kind of bad reporting. You couldn't even just like get a Costco membership.
Right. Or just ask somebody you know with a Costco membership to go get some and tell you how much it was.
Seriously. It says it's estimated that the product generally sells for about 2% above the spot price, which as of Tuesday morning was around $2,357 an ounce. That would put the price at Costco just more than $2,400. Gold has been on a tear this year, with spot prices rising more than 13% in 2024, pushed higher by a persistent bout of inflation that started in 2022, and investor fear over the state of the deteriorating U.S. fiscal situation, which is why we should all do a bank run.
Is that what you're advocating for, a bank run to pull everyone's money out of the bank?
Yeah, not really advocating for it. Not that I'm against it, I'm just saying not really advocating for it, like trying to get it to happen anymore. Like, me and Ian really wanted it to happen before, when there was like a lot of news surrounding it, like seeming like it might actually happen. It says the government is on pace for a $2 trillion deficit this year, adding a total debt load that has surpassed $34.6 trillion. So what does that mean? That means that the government isn't even responsible with the money you give them. So we've been talking this whole show about all the money that people give to the government, and how they take so much, you know, they take 34% of your life earnings, just about. And they can't even balance a, you know, a checkbook.
They got to go to the money printers and say, please, money printer man, can you bring us some money? We need to have some money.
No, it's them. They just say, oh, we'll just print it.
Yeah. And then they don't even pay their bills with it.
Yep, they don't even pay their bills with it. They're like, what else can we buy for ourselves?
Yeah.
So I think that this is really great news. I think it's just a really nice story. Almost like, oh, this is a heartwarming story to me. Not really that Costco is making the money. Like, I don't care. I just want gold, more gold in the hands of people.
More gold in the hands of people that want it. Like goldbacks. Yeah. Goldbacks are phenomenal.
I love goldbacks. What's a goldback, Riley?
So a goldback is a sheet of plastic that has gold embedded into it, pretty much. And they're really cool. Like, a couple weeks ago, we went out to a place for a meetup here in New Hampshire, and I tipped the server with a goldback.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
We've tipped our delivery guy with goldbacks before, and they're like, what is this? And tell them about it.
Did they like it? Did they say, like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lady that Riley tipped a goldback to the other day, I was there, and she was like, wow, this is really cool. She said she'd gotten one, I had it explained to her before, and she's like, wow, I really appreciate this. And I just came from New York City, too. Like, she's already, like, associating it with, like, freedom.
Yeah, and but we're going to do that. We got to keep doing that more, because we got to make these people rich with us.
I agree. And the other thing is, like, one thing Ian said once that I've been thinking about a lot since he said it was, he said, If Bitcoin was a thing when he first moved to New Hampshire, maybe he wouldn't have done the type of abrasive direct activism that he did. And I'm all for his abrasive direct activism, and I'm glad he did it. But he said that maybe he wouldn't have done that because he could have positioned himself in a bit of a better light if he had just went to people and explained Bitcoin with them and had them all become rich with him and, you know, advocated against the government in that way.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, you know, kind of a pain in some people's necks and being like, oh, you guys are so mean to the old lady who hit you with a stop sign. You know, all that old stuff that I don't know if you guys even know about, but the kind of stuff that Ian and his friends used to get into here, protesting and just doing activism.
You know, I'd love to bring some of that back, but we'll see what happens.
I'd love to bring some of that back too. I don't really want to get arrested or anything.
I don't either.
It's a bad time for me.
I don't want to do that to my girlfriend Alana. I don't think she deserves that. So
I just feel like it's a perfectly bad time for me. Like, Free Talk Live would be at risk, and then like I also am the only one really watching my dog Coconut right now, instead of like normally I could just have Ian watch him. Just stuff like that. So that like it's never a good time for someone to get arrested. Honestly, like it's getting your life taken away from you for some certain amount of time. For Ian, it's 8 years. For other people, it might be like just a few days, but it's never good. It's never like, you know, better than being productive out in the streets. But in fact, it's just better for everybody that you know, even if they're just your neighbor, because it's better for the economy for you to be productive. It's so stupid that people get put into cages still. It's like so medieval. But anyways, that's all I really had to say about the gold story. I thought it was a nice, heartwarming story. This one's a little annoying. It says, student members of an unofficial club at New Jersey school are under investigation for alleged racism and harassment. So let's see, who's the bad guy here? I don't know. I haven't actually read this story. But it says, a South Jersey school district and local police are investigating incidents of racial bias among high school students. This includes the creation of the so-called White Student Union, a non-sanctioned club at Collingswood High School in Camden County. Students say kids in the club often racially harass other students. Well, that's not nice. It says high school administrators also informed the district that the students engaged in unacceptable actions. But that's the thing I kind of want to know about. Like,
yeah,
are they? Is it just unacceptable to have a white kids club, or is it actually unacceptable actions? It says it's been crazy in school probably since last year, said Kaimani Wharton. She says racial incidents at Collingswood High School have reached a new level recently. I saw a lot of different things in school. It was like racial slurs, the ninth grader recalled. Members of the club reportedly call other students racial slurs. It's just one of the allegations now at the center of an investigation. The other thing is, like, it'd be so easy to just be like, I don't like that they have their white kids club. Like, I'm just going to claim that they call me a racial slur.
And even if they did, the fact that words are illegal,
yeah, that's true,
is absurd.
It is. It's very absurd. And I
can't hurt you, yeah, literally with my words. I can say any words at you and you will not be injured.
Yeah.
I wonder.
They can.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. I wonder if this has some connection to the fact that these kids have been locked up in their homes for a year or so.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because of a virus.
Behavior.
And now they're becoming antisocial because they got to spend some time on the interwebs.
Well, maybe they're just bad people, too.
Mm-hmm. That's entirely possible.
They could just be bad people, and that's fine. Bad people exist.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, I don't think it's right to hit someone over calling you a mean name. But honestly, I just feel like instead of, like, going to the cops, like, why don't you do something about it? Like, if somebody's calling you a racial slur, like, you know, beat them up. They kind of deserve it. Yeah. Like, I mean, like... I don't literally think that's self-defense or anything like that, but like, it's just like people need to learn to get along together. And sometimes that involves like when someone's being annoying, like I'm so happy I had siblings, for example.
Oh, I
because
agree.
Instead of like going to school and being like, what, I can say whatever I want and then getting beat up in school. Like I just learned that from my siblings. Like, yeah. Oh, don't do this annoying behavior. I see that annoys people. You
and
know,
this is what siblings do is they socialize you in a way that helps you deal with the real world or
right.
potentially deal with the real world.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my thing is these people are terrible, obviously,
mm-hmm.
using racial slurs or calling someone names or whatever.
Yeah, if it's true.
Means you're a bad person, right? And so why do you care what bad people say to you? Why do you care their opinion of you? Just
yeah.
be like, cool.
Yeah.
Bye.
That's a good point.
Just don't care.
And just like, you know, don't associate with them. And like most people will probably not associate with them. And
yeah.
They'll find their own consequences that way. And then they'll be sorry. So it doesn't necessarily have to be beating them up. It's just that I feel like that's probably what's going to happen. But it's just even lamer if you're just like, I'm not even going to beat you up. I'm going to go tell the teacher. And you're in high school. It says it's bothersome. Okay, so wait, no, I missed something. It says the Camden County Prosecutor's Office confirmed it is working with the Collingswood Police Department on an investigation into the alleged racial incidents. And honestly, you are actually threatening people's lives a lot more if you're bringing cops into the school than if you just beat them up. It's bothersome, especially this day and age, to think that it's still going on and the stuff kids have to deal with, said Kiana Wharton, Kaimani's mother. Collingswood school officials say they cannot discuss the details of the incident as the investigation is ongoing, but Superintendent Fred McDowell sent a letter to the school community. He addressed a racial bias incident that reportedly took place before spring break. And the other thing is, like, racial bias incident, like, that's an incident. Like, people should be allowed to have racial biases.
They
even
should
if
be allowed to, yes. Even
any bias you want.
Yeah.
Even if
I don't
means,
I don't like the idea of a racial bias.
Yeah.
But you should be allowed to have a racial bias.
It's a racial bias incident. You're just not allowed to do that if you're in public school. The letter read in part, I am deeply troubled by the allegations. We remain deeply committed to dismantling racism in all its forms and providing equal access to an education that will empower all students. Meanwhile, students say racism is an ongoing issue at the school. I kind of want to hear, like, are they going to interview the white kid club people? Like, are they saying we're not doing that? I want to know the other side.
Yeah, I want to know the other side, too. This isn't journalism. It's just reporting on how hurt somebody is.
Right. And this is from 6abc.com, by the way. It says, meanwhile, students say racism is an ongoing issue at the high school. Last year, kids organized a peaceful protest, which led to changes in the district's process of reporting discrimination. Parents are saying they want to see the district take action in this case.
I still don't understand. What is the discrimination that's happening?
Right. I really want to know.
Calling somebody a name isn't discrimination.
Right.
Having a club, I guess. But I mean, I'm sure that there are
other people in. Because there's always like Japanese clubs in school.
Yeah, I'm sure there are other clubs
kids can be in it.
That certain people aren't allowed in.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Because there's like boys clubs, girl clubs.
That's discrimination.
Technically is. Because discrimination doesn't always mean just like beating someone up for being a different color. Sometimes it means like I am discriminating against all the other clothes in my closet because I want to use this one. That's like literally just a word.
Yeah, yep. We discriminate every day.
Yep.
I think they should crack down on it. I think because there's no consequences for the students when they do certain things, that it's going to continue on. So I think they should crack down and there should be consequences, said Wharton. And it's just like there's no consequences when they do what certain things, because I'm sure there are literally consequences if they're like using the N-word in front of a teacher.
Yeah.
They were literally going to get sent to like ISS or detention or something. The district will not discuss what specific actions those students in the white student union may face. It is also unclear at this time how many students are involved in the unofficial club. And the other thing is, if it's an unofficial club, like, it's just kids having groups within themselves. Like,
how dare you?
They should be allowed to do that, and the government shouldn't have anything to do with it. The superintendent's letter did state that any student who violates the district's code of conduct or the harassment, intimidation, and bullying policies will be disciplined appropriately. Wow.
So this code of conduct applies outside of school hours?
Right.
So like they own your child's time when they're not at school?
Well, they already give them homework and stuff like that, so they kind of act like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that you get graded and you can potentially not pass your classes just because
they can
you didn't
just
do homework.
Hold you after school outside of the contracted time that you agreed to be there.
Yeah, that's so true. That happens all the time.
Maybe you should just not send your kids to public schools, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally just torture. In fact, like, you're more likely to just, like, hate the other people you're in there with for just, like, the fact that you're all in a prison together. And you're probably a lot less likely to be hateful towards each other if you're not forced to be in this prison together.
Yeah.
I had this conversation with a friend of mine that went to high school with me, and he was saying, like, honestly, I think back to all the people I was mean to and rude to, and it's just, like, the hormones at that age and like the stress of like having to be in public school is like so bad. He's like, I think back and I'm like, I don't even hate any of those people that I used to be like, I hate them.
And do you think that to become a productive adult human being, you need to spend 18 years of your life, 8 hours a day, every single day in this place that's teaching you these things in an inappropriate way? It's not even effective.
No.
They don't teach you skills.
Right. And a lot of times they don't even teach you reading and writing and math. I see some terrible English skills on the internet every day. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere.
The new 4th edition of Healing Our World, The Compassion of Libertarianism will take your understanding of liberty to a deeper level and has over 1,300 updated references, new cartoons, and a foreword by Dr. Ron Paul. With discounts for multiple book purchases, the 4th edition of Healing Our World is a great gift for the liberals, pragmatists, environmentalists, and Christians in your life who think libertarianism is cold-hearted. Get yours today at healing.freetalklive.com and use promo code FTL for a $5 discount.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And Riley, you should tell the listeners, especially if they live in or near New Hampshire, what you're doing this 420. That's April 20th. Oh, sorry. I hit the wrong mic. Sorry.
She's trying to censor me, tiny tyrant.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So as Bonnie mentioned, on Saturday, April 20th at 4:20.
Oh, it's a Saturday. That's nice.
We are meeting at the State House, and we are doing a cannabis freedom rally at the State House on 4:20 at 4:20. So if you live near New Hampshire or the New England area, come up to Concord, New Hampshire. We'd love to have you.
Yep, I'll be there. I think it's going to be a fun time. People typically do show up to this event, like tons of people typically do show up to this event. Last year was a good size group, like maybe like 25 people all together. Like,
let's make it more. Let's make it 50 and let's make it 100.
Yeah, I think like, and it wasn't, that one wasn't even like put out beforehand by anyone. I think people just were like, hey, let's do a thing like last minute, and people just showed up. So,
and it'll probably be this way a little bit this year. You know, I'm not the only one doing the 4:20 rally there. So
yeah, and if you don't smoke, you don't have to smoke. Just like come for the community. It's really nice. Honestly, if you're a free stater that doesn't get out much, I am typically one of those people, but I've been trying to get out more, and it's just like, it's always like, it's never a bad idea to just stand around and talk with people who think the same way you do and feel the same way you do. And it's for an even, it's also for a good cause, because the thing is, like, in New Hampshire, we may have decriminalization in a way, but we should always strive to have every right we want, you know?
Yeah, I mean, sure, you can smoke weed in New Hampshire, but why would you want to smoke it by yourself when you can have a bunch of friends that think like you, smoke it with you?
And technically, you could get arrested. In fact, the greater activism would be like one person holding like 2 ounces at a time.
Oh.
Stuff you aren't supposed to.
Oh, I wish I had 2 ounces because I'd do it.
I wonder if somebody will. So this is Free Talk Live. Like I said, 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
Riley.
And in the last segment, we were talking about this white students union that is getting broken up. One thing I forgot to mention I thought was kind of funny. So these kids made an unofficial club called the White Student Union, and the police are going and investigating it. One thing I thought was funny is it ends this article on 6abc.com with, anyone with information on this incident is urged to contact the police immediately.
Oh, they didn't tell us what the incident is.
Right, that's true.
Oh, because a club was created and people said some things?
All I'm saying is it's just like so bad whenever the police ask people to rat on each other.
It's ridiculous. Like,
it's like 1984 for real.
Oh, it definitely is 1984. Like, did we not learn any lessons from reading that book? Why did you want to go down this route?
People don't read.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true.
Most people probably haven't read it.
Or if they're Christians, at least I've noticed in a lot of Christians groups, they say, well, it's the last days. And so in reference to the Israeli conflict going on with Palestine, they're like, oh, well, the Bible says it's going to happen, so we just need to let it happen. No!
Oh, that's terrible.
It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
No, we need to stop these stupid wars from happening. It wasn't the prediction of what's going to happen. It's, hey, this could happen. Maybe you shouldn't go down this direction.
That's a good way, or an interesting way to look
at it. Even if your God's coming back to save you, you shouldn't go down this direction.
This is one thing I like about like the Swedenborgian Christians, is they say that the whole thing, the whole Bible is kind of like, so the tarot is another example of something that's a book that, it's a deck of cards, but it's a book because it tells so many stories in the least amount, I mean, in no words, in just images, and it portrays so much information to people. That's what the Swedenborgians believe about the Bible, that it's just kind of stories that, you know, get across so many things. So, like, so many, like, it's like a microcosm of the macrocosm. That's what the tarot is all about, is, like, they have, like, the 21, I think it is, major arcana cards, and then they have the small the other one that has like 72 cards in it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is, like, it's big things that can comment on like your whole life in each of those major arcana cards. It conveys a bunch of information. So that's what they're saying. That's what the Swedenborgians believe about the Bible. And I don't like have a complete perfect like understanding of what they think about that, but I was like, that's like a quick way to kind of describe it to people, get across what I'm trying to say or what I understand about it. And so the Swedenborgians like will put out videos saying like, please don't believe that this conflict needs to happen, because that's all, it's all, you know, a parable to get you to understand certain truths, like in their in their viewpoint. They believe that the Bible is all parables in order to get you to understand certain truths.
Yeah, that's probably the perspective I would take. Like, the Bible is just a parable. It's a book of parables that we as society need to learn from and not go down these stupid directions of, you know, bringing on the disastrous consequences of war or ruining our money or not paying attention to humanity.
I just think that in not loving humans, like the idea that like the 30,000, I think, Gazans and Palestinians that have died.
Is it up to 30,000 now?
It was up to 30,000 months ago, like last time I looked at it. So that's why I was, or last time Ian sent me stuff about it.
That's horrible. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a genocide. And how could you possibly call that self-defense? Like that when the state of Israel got attacked once and now 30,000 people are killed months and months into this. And people keep saying stuff like it's Israel self-defending itself.
I saw a story about them approving an ambulance to go and help a child and then striking the ambulance and blowing it up.
Wow.
That sounds like self-defense.
Yeah. That sounds like self-defense to me, Israel. You're making yourself look like a horrible ally.
Dangerous ambulance, dangerous children.
Sounds like a lot like the United States, so maybe it's not making them look like a horrible ally.
Oh. You might be right.
One thing about all this is I just like how the Swedenborgians say, like, don't try to make this about... you know, just like don't turn a blind eye to bad things happening and try to blame the Bible. Like, I kind of like that view. And the other thing about it is I think that the typical American Christians have like become completely immoral because of just like, you know, saying that they can do whatever they want because their God says they can. It's like just as bad as like, I mean, it happens all the time with Muslims and they love to point it out with the Muslims. Like, you know, that tons of Muslims do tons of bad things in the name of saying like, oh, well, we're allowed to because Allah tells us to. Well, Christians are the same way in the United States. Like, oh, we can go kill all the Gazans because our God told us we can.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Well, that was kind of a little sidetrack. I forgot why we even got into that. Something about telling on people in 1984.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was in reference to the article that we were looking at and how... this whole story that we're talking about is nothing more than speech.
Right. And so that's why I brought up this other story, too. I thought they kind of seems related and we would have a lot to say about it. This is from dailymail.co.uk. North Carolina high school student, who is 16, is suspended for saying illegal alien in class.
Okay. That's still ridiculous.
I mean, like getting suspended is such a weird concept to begin with. You don't get to go to more school.
You don't get to come to the welfare day prison. You get to have freedom. Oh, yay!
Right. It's like, the only thing about it is, like, it does punish you in the way that, like, you're going to end up failing the class because you'll miss so much instruction. It's like, what is the point of that? Like, we're going to make you be less educated. What? If your education's so good, it should be something that you would never think to take away from a child. So... Christian McGee, 16, was suspended from Central Davidson High School. It says, for 3 days from Central Davidson High School after using the term during a classroom discussion about word meanings. So they're having a discussion about word meanings and he still got suspended for using a word.
It wasn't even like in a derogatory manner. It was just they were talking.
I don't know yet. That's really a good question.
So for me, I mean, here on Free Talk Live, we don't generally use the term illegal alien to describe people because, you know, I think
it's purposely derogatory.
It is derogatory because you're talking about people crossing borders freely. Now, I may disagree with this boy's opinions on a lot of things, and that's okay. He's probably where I was when I was 16, and I can empathize with him. He still has the right to use the term illegal alien, and he shouldn't be suspended from school from doing so.
Actually, I mean, he should get a choice to leave.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think any words should be banned.
I don't either.
Me either. I think, like, you can totally face consequences of saying mean things to some guy that's bigger than you. Like, you will learn that way. Like, maybe I should cooperate with my fellow human beings and not, you know, call them bad words.
Right.
And this is the thing. Like, so many people like to do this thing where they're like, I should be free. Like, so many people in, like, the right-wing, like, right-wing people, like in Young Americans for Liberty, tons of them are like right-wingers. And I had to, I did work with them, not I had to, but I had to be around these right-wingers thinking I was like going to be with all libertarians. And tons of them would like have this discussion over and over again, like, I should be able to say the N-word and like, I'll just say it if I want to. And it's like, yeah, you do have the right to say it, but like also you should have the right to do tons of things that offend people, but you don't do it because you don't want to. It's why do you want to do it?
It's a matter of principle. You may have the right to do something.
And it should not get in prison for it. That doesn't mean everybody has to be happy about it.
There shouldn't be any manufactured consequences. There should be natural consequences.
Right,
for
I
these
agree.
Things. Like so people don't want to be your friend. Yeah, people don't want to talk to you.
If you're a racist, bigot, homophobe, then you're not going to be hanging out with those types of people. So, I mean, obviously that's
a
social construct.
And,
right. If I ran a business and there's someone in my business, you know, calling people slurs and being hateful, I'm just going to be like, get out.
Get out.
Right.
You're
not I'm
not going
to serve you.
Yeah, I'm not going to serve that.
Right. So like, exactly. There should be natural consequences, but the idea you should go and tell the cops that a student in your class is creating a white student union or maybe saying illegal aliens, like this culture is so bad. I think it's so disgusting and terrible to try to police other people in this way. And kids are learning to do this in school. It's so disgusting. It says, Christian questioned the term alien in an assignment, asking if it referred to space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards. So that's the quote.
Oh, that's the quote.
Wow.
They're suspending him over that?
His comment reportedly offended another student.
Oh, poor student.
Who physically threatened McGee, leading to the involvement of school authorities.
Hey, did the kid who threatened him get suspended?
Yeah, I do wonder that.
Yeah. Are these so-called school authorities or are they real school authorities?
It probably just means like the cops that work at the school, but I'm not sure.
Well, authority doesn't exist. It's merely a social construct. So these so-called authorities.
Right. He says, I didn't make a statement directed towards anyone. I asked a question. Christian told the Carolina Journal. And it's showing pictures of him getting his first car, him with his parents. They definitely like just like have a very Republican look, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So it does.
It's probably like coming from his parents, you know?
Yeah.
It says his comment reportedly offended another student. So that's just a repeat of what I was saying earlier. It says, I wasn't speaking of Hispanics because everyone from other countries needs green cards. And the term illegal alien is an actual term that I hear on the news and can find in the dictionary. Well, I didn't know it's in the dictionary. Like, that's crazy. They suspended him for saying something that's in the dictionary.
Yeah.
His suspension could impact his chance of securing an athletic scholarship for college as he played on his school's track and cross country teams. Like, I'm not like all for like sports. Sports are so stupid, but it is kind of sad that he would miss out on an opportunity just because this person was offended. Like, seriously, you have to be so soft to get offended and need the school authorities to protect you.
Do you
over words?
Well, I think people have the right to be offended, and they should be offended and go to the authorities.
But,
yeah.
Oh yeah, just don't go to the authorities, and even like something like all right, saying something that's like extremely racially, obviously racially motivated and fighting words, like somebody should kind of expect that they may get assaulted over something like that. Like, I mean, like you should just kind of know that could be a consequence, but the idea of just saying, is this alien like space aliens or illegal aliens who need green cards? Like, how is that fighting words? That is like, you're just another level of like a sensitive Sally, honestly.
And also like getting punched in the mouth after lunch or something is a lot different than having your whole life ruined because someone got their feelings hurt.
Right. That's what I was saying earlier about like, honestly, it's more dangerous to your fellow students to like call the cops like in the last story than it even would be to just punch them in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So it says his mother, Leah McGee, said that despite their efforts, the assistant principal has been unwilling to remove the infraction from Christian's record. Because of his question, our son was disciplined and given 3 days out of school suspension for racism. Whoa, that's like so crazy. They're completely jumping to conclusions there.
Yeah,
and so that's going on his record as he's a racist now.
I mean, he could be talking about Europeans.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. And like you said, it's going to always be on his record. That's honestly, this is like getting a little more annoying than I thought it'd be. It's pretty messed up to call a 16-year-old boy a racist just because he said something that literally is, like he said, on the news. Like, I honestly thought it was, like, a totally fine term around that age. Like, I didn't think it was racist. I thought, like, that's what you say, like, illegal aliens. And then, like, later I realized, like, it was kind of created to purposely make it us versus them mentality.
Yeah, demonize them.
Right.
Because, like, they're illegal.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, they're not supposed to be here, when in reality, like, borders are made up.
They are. Mm-hmm. They're just imaginary lines in the sand.
So, yeah, that's really messed up that they're making him, they're calling him a racist over this. And to be fair, he literally didn't even direct it towards, like Mexicans, for example, or something like that.
Into, it doesn't like, sound like he did.
Mexicans, he just said illegal aliens.
I just want to know if the other kid got suspended.
I do,
how
too.
How can you threaten somebody with violence and they're the one that got in trouble?
Oh, but he's the special chosen child. He's the...
He was offended.
The offended one, yeah.
The offended one, obviously. Yeah.
He obviously can't control his own emotions.
Yeah.
This says, Christian is devastated and concerned that the racism label on his school record will harm his future goal of receiving a track scholarship.
Yeah.
We are concerned that he will fall behind in his classes due to being absent for 3 consecutive days. And that actually does happen. I was in ISS 4 skipping school. So because of the fact that I skipped classes and you're not supposed to do that, they made me skip classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so behind in like all of my classes when I had to go back because it was like that's the whole point. Like, you miss instruction and then you're so behind. And I just don't understand how you get to skip class as punishment for skipping class. But it's ridiculous.
It's silly. Yeah.
State Senator Steve Jarvis, and that's kind of the thing. That's like part of why school is actually just mind control and trying to get people to accept control. They do things that make no sense just to be like, you must follow the rules. Like, mm-hmm. The rule is you don't go and skip class, like as in go sit in the bathroom with your friends during a class instead of being there. That's the rule, and you broke the rule, so what we're going to do is make you skip class. Like, it's force you to skip class.
Yep. I got suspended in school suspension once, mm-hmm. and they told me that I had to stay afterwards for detention. Like, at the end of the day, I was getting up to go leave, and they're like, no, you have to stay for detention. And I was like, I was just here all day. I'm not staying anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I left. and so they suspended me out of school suspension for 3 days.
Oh,
and
wow.
I
was like, that's some freedom for you.
I was like, cool.
Yeah, you don't have to be there.
Yeah, they didn't call my parents either. Nobody told my parents. No one knew that I wasn't in school.
Whoa.
Except for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's maybe like nowadays it's different, because they would always call my parents and be like, she missed class today. So like if I skipped even a class, I would like have to like be like, Mama, can I use your phone? And like wait for the call and like answer it and hang up. Yeah, they're like really on top of that. That's always happening to my little siblings too. It's annoying.
It is annoying.
So state senator, I guess this is a North Carolina state senator, Steve Jarvis, representing Davidson County, has reached out to the school district superintendent, urging officials to look for the best outcome. However, Jarvis refrained from taking a stance on the issue and explained that he needed to understand all perspectives involved.
Typical politician answer.
True. Yeah. Very true.
They all say the same thing. Mm-hmm.
I do not see that would be an offensive statement just in getting clarification, he said. But there again, I think I'm supposed to say then again, I don't know. I don't know the situation of this particular incident. You couldn't have gotten it explained to you like before you went and made a comment. Like,
yeah, why is there even a comment there from that guy?
I mean,
it could be, but it also couldn't be.
Right. It's just like he said, like such a typical politician way of talking. Like TJ the Spy, who called in a little bit ago, he went to Liberty Forum about a month ago now. And I went too, and he went to the Tulsi Gabbard speech, and she is a politician from Hawaii, I think?
I think so, yeah.
And,
she was a former Democratic candidate in the 2020 election.
Yeah, and then she, became an independent.
Yeah.
So, he went to Tulsi Gabbard and asked her if she becomes vice president, because apparently she may be one of the people on the short list, they call it, for vice president from Trump. And so TJ the Spy asked Tulsi Gabbard directly to her face, if you become vice president, will you urge the president, please, to free Ross Ulbricht from prison? And she said, I'm learning more about Ross every day.
See, that's definitely that's a politician answer.
That's not even an answer.
Yeah, that's the most politician.
He didn't ask how much you're learning or whether you're learning about Ross
Ulbricht. Or like which direction are you leaning?
Yeah, like stupid.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's so infuriating whenever you watch anything where somebody's trying to nail a politician down on something. They are really trained to just like start talking about something totally else.
Yeah, they're not giving you a pat answer. They're not willing to stand up for something.
Yeah, I don't know who it was, but somebody I knew described it as talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you say, like, will the country continue to be locked down in the auspices of this COVID-19 pandemic or under the auspices? And then they'll say, healthcare is our number one priority. And then just give some prepackaged thing.
Public health is our number one priority.
Yeah,
we'll make sure the public is safe from the pandemic.
We care about the public. We care about your family more than you care about your family. And they just go on. They're not actually answering the question at all. Yeah, I just thought this was a crazy, it's just kind of a crazy, kind of indicative of the times. Everybody is offended by everything. Everybody will use whatever the authority is they can get to against each other. And it's really gross and weird.
It's really gross, definitely.
And I would hate to be a kid in this day and age. It's just like worse than even when I was in high school in like 2011 to 2015.
Yeah.
It was not this bad, I don't think. And it's gotten worse and worse. I would also hate to be a kid during like the actual lockdowns. Like, imagine you're in high school and your fellow students are arguing like, you've got to just wear a mask, man. My grandma is 80 years old, man.
You gotta take care of my grandma.
Disgusting.
No, I don't actually.
And do you remember how important it was hanging out with your friends as a kid? Imagine not being able to do that for like a year.
Right. Yeah. And that would just, that's just depressing. So 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. 603-283-6160. Call in about whatever you want. What do you think about this kid getting suspended for saying illegal alien? 603-283-6160. You can call in and tell us whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call. That's 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Riley.
And I did want to go to the phone calls of the listeners. David from New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Bonnie.
Your baby daddy.
Damn,
that's gross.
So he's making it progressively grosser and grosser, but he's copying Skeeter.
Well, hey, man, if you're going to be in a competition with Skeeter, man, you got to put out the best you got.
Got to keep one up.
Why would you want to compete with Skeeter?
Well, because it's fun. You guys are boring. Skeeter's fun.
Skeeter calls and says, it's your boy. And then one day, Colin was like, it's your hello, son. And then he started being like, I'm not your son. I am not your son. It's your daddy, Skeeter. Oh, it's so gross.
Oh, that is kind of gross, isn't
That's
it?
That's what David is referencing.
My hero.
Ew.
Gross.
You're his number one fan, I guess.
Yeah. His number one fan, his number two fan, his last fan, because I'm probably his only fan. Only fan?
I was like, he's
no,
on OnlyFans?
Just OnlyFans.
Just the one.
Me and Skeeter do not have an OnlyFans together.
Together?
Allegedly.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Bonnie, how tall are you?
I'm 5'2", allegedly.
62 inches, 99 divided by 62. You weigh... What? That's not right. Oh, you weigh 1.596 pounds per inch.
Whoa. Interesting.
Wow.
Never thought about that.
That doesn't sound... No, that's like... Well, I guess it's right. You're too skinny, dude.
Chris Wade was saying, because he heard me say I was 99 pounds on the show, and I went to Chicago with Chris Wade. I gave a speech about Ian, by the way, and I'll make a whole free Keen post about it, and I'll get the footage and make a free Keen video about it. But so I was with Chris Wade a lot this weekend, and I just love him so much. I am the only person that can bring out like the actual catty, fun, gay in Chris Wade, I believe, and he is just so fun. But anyway, so he said, like, I can't believe you're 99 pounds. You weigh half as much as me. Like, that's not possible. And I will weigh it myself in front of people. I think people underestimate how small I am, like, as, like, my bone structure. Like, it's not even just that I'm skinny. Like, I have meat on my bones. What?
You got bird bones. You got bird bones. They're hollow.
Bird bones. Yeah, that's actually kind of scary. I wonder if they're, like, weak. I don't know. I don't break my bones, but I don't really do anything to break my bones, so...
Well, if bird bones are weak, then how can you can't give them to dogs?
Because they break into shattery things. But I think you're only not allowed to give them cooked bones. Like, I think, can you give a dog...
Yeah, you can,
like,
give them raw bones.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty natural if you think about it. Like, a dog would just eat a chicken.
Nick, what's that? Knick-knack, paddywhack? Give a dog a chicken bone?
Yeah.
Probably.
Chicken bone. That's a band, isn't it?
Are you just, like, trying to get out all the dad jokes you can think of today?
Well, that's what baby daddy do when they call. They get out all the dad jokes.
Are you calling from prison?
Yeah. You want to talk to Ian? Hey, Ian. I got somebody for you.
Why'd you ask him if he's calling from prison?
Well, he's making all these weird baby daddy jokes. I'm wondering if he's calling us from prison because...
What, all the baby daddies are in prison?
It seems like it.
He's going to hell.
Oh, if you're Bonnie's baby daddy, you must be in prison. Is that what you think, Riley?
Probably. I mean, he's crazy.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think you're onto something. I think if all the baby daddies are in prison, that's why your society has gone to hell.
Probably.
Oh, it is kind of weird. That's the way that Riley associates it. Anything else for us today, David?
Yeah. So what is the question? I hear you talking, but what is the question?
I don't know what that means.
Well, see, there you go. That's part of the problem. We're getting somewhere. You got to in order to solve a problem, you got to identify what the question is, don't you?
Okay. In what situation?
In any situation, what situations are you complaining about? Which ones are you unhappy about?
Well, we were talking about free speech being monitored by these, people who can't deal with getting offended.
Right.
I complain about that.
So to play Jeopardy in the form of a question, what is the question?
How do you feel about people's speech being...
Monitored.
Yeah, monitored by these watchdog types, hall monitor types.
It should be pretty simple. First of all, you guys should like the country and the Constitution as it was founded, because it gives you, in no uncertain terms, it says that they can't do that, with certain exceptions. So if it's a public institution, and your speech, which you're entitled to, is disrupting the process that is a legitimate process, not an illegitimate process, but a legitimate process, then you probably have to wait until you're outside of the institution in order to exercise that speech.
So maybe I could say that if this, like, student, for example, if he was, like, completely voluntarily there at school and he pays the taxes to be there voluntarily, he wants to be there, I could see, well, in this situation, really, he was just asking a question. But if he was doing something like screaming while the teacher's trying to talk, I could see that needing to be, like, mitigated or whatever. But I just think this kid is, if you're talking about this kid specifically, I don't really know if you are, he's being forced to be at this school that does a worse job than his parents pay for him to be educated. And he's just asking a question, and he's just getting punished for saying something that offended someone else, literally, no other reason.
Right, but there's a bunch of other questions in there. So if we make it completely generic for the purpose of trying to be as scientific as possible, if you eliminate all of those, the proper pronouns, you know, that specific situation, and reduce it to a generic situation, put it in its simplest terms, if there's a public institution, you don't even have to say it's a school, it's a public institution, and it's legitimate, and you have the right to say whatever you want with, and then I introduced one caveat that is probably legit. That is, if this public institution is legitimate, and your speech that you're normally entitled to is disruptive to that legitimate process in a way that legitimately, and we could define what legitimate is if we wanted to, but in a way that legitimately undermines that legitimate process, then it's probably legal for, you know, for instance, a Supreme Court to come along and say that, no, you're entitled to your free speech. You just have to wait till you're outside of that institution because you're in school for, you know, 6 or 8 hours a day. You have all the other hours of every other day and all day on Saturday and Sunday to do that speech anywhere else you want in public. You just can't do it here because it destroys the process.
See, the problem with that, though, is that it's, you know, the ultimate slippery slope because anyone can be offended by anything. So anything anyone says can just be a legitimate disruption. So let's all just not talk.
Right. That's so true. And thank you for the call, David from New Mexico. I do see where he's coming from. But the thing I find the most just incorrect about the way he's thinking is, he's saying, oh, well, you should like the Constitution as it's written. But just consider for a second, if I don't agree with it, if I don't like it, what gives me the, you know, what part of your system allows me to just not be a part of it? Like, you're not allowing you. That's the thing. They never want to just allow you to just not be a part. Even if you think like it's absolutely not right, I totally
should agree.
But
Bonnie, your ancestors fought and died for this Constitution. How dare you oppose it?
I don't really know if they even did, honestly. Well, I don't know.
In his example about things being disruptive, who decides what's too disruptive?
Right.
Are they not allowed to debate things in school? Are they not allowed to disagree with each other? Like, who decides that it's disruptive?
Disagreement is healthy.
Exactly. It's just like it's a slippery slope. Like you said, like things can just continue to be more and more labeled as disruptive because you said the wrong word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, who's going to police that? Well, I think we should get into this story that Lori brought in. It's about what California is calling for right now. Not sure if they're going to do it, but I guess the article will probably tell us. But I find it absolutely weird and gross, and I hope people don't go along with it.
This is from redstate.com, which I think is like a Republican leaning opinion.
That makes sense.
Journal.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. So it says California lawmakers are moving to create a genealogy office that would help determine an individual's eligibility for reparations. The deep blue state has long flirted with ludicrous proposals to spend hundreds of billions of dollars so they can dearly afford those claiming to be the descendants of slaves. While previous proposals indicated that they might be willing to hand out checks to anyone who merely identifies as black, lawmakers are now seeking to create an agency that would help assess eligibility. This would presumably involve testing the DNA of applicants. This is SB 1403, authored by State Senator Stephen Bradford. It would establish the California American Freedmen Affairs Agency. The bill would direct CAFA to implement suggestions from the state's reparations task force.
It's just kind of ridiculous considering the fact that no one alive today is a freedman.
So another thing is, if you're going to take a DNA test to say that you are owed reparations because you have ancestors who were slaves, mm-hmm. right? Which is already ludicrous. So many people are of mixed ancestry that these reparations are going to end up going to white people.
Yeah. Or people whose ancestors were slave owners as well as slaves.
Or people whose, you know, ancestors were slave owners.
Yeah.
So how does any of this make any sense? None of it makes any sense. I don't think anyone should be getting reparations.
I don't either.
Anyone alive today that didn't do anything to them.
Yes. Nobody did anything to you.
People, why should I pay for it?
Right. Why should I be paying for... why is anyone paying for the sins of their fathers?
Yeah.
Or their father's fathers.
Yeah. And that's really... honestly, that's like... it's to the point it's almost like sad. It's like people shouldn't be paying for anything that their ancestors did. And the
excuse
is always...
people should be punished for the things they're doing, not what their ancestors did.
The excuse is always, oh, well... you are still benefiting from what they did. And I don't see any way that like white people are benefiting more from the way the United States is set up than anyone else.
Like, and then say somebody who moved here and became a citizen from Italy and is paying taxes in California. And then they're going to take those taxes from that person and pay somebody reparations for something that they literally had no part of ever.
Or just like Mexicans, like or they anyone. Were not a part of that at all.
Anyone.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, I mean, maybe there are some Mexicans owned slaves, but like, there's always these little stories here and there. Like, well, technically, a couple of Mexicans owned slaves. That doesn't mean that all the Mexicans alive today, you know, owe reparations to black people. I don't know. Are they going to somehow take it out of only white people's bank accounts too?
Right, it's going to come out of the taxes, I assume.
Mm-hmm. So just like everyone,
yeah, just everybody.
The Asians.
So the Asians are being stolen from. The black people are being stolen from too. And
yeah,
oh,
and they're taking your own money and handing it back to you. Also for this,
stupid. Like, the government is so best at breaking your leg and handing you a crutch and saying, "Aren't you glad we're here for you?
It's your own crutch too.
Oh,
like
yeah.
We pulled this out of your closet from the last time we broke your leg. Here you go.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
We saved you some money.
Yeah. The bill would direct CAFA to implement suggestions from the state's reparations tax task force, a body created by the state legislature, which recommended that eligible black residents of California could be owed up to $1.2 million. Chief among the task
force. What is
force,
that supposed to mean? Like, not each, obviously.
Each.
What?
Each.
Well, how could each person get $1 million?
$1.2 million from all the tax money from everybody else.
How? I mean, how are they going to raise that much money? That's crazy.
They just take more money from you.
Every black person?
I guess.
Or I guess it's like eligible as in like you'd have to prove that your ancestors were slaves. But how do you do that with a DNA test anyway?
I assume they would have to have DNA that lines up with the DNA of other people from certain regions of Africa.
Hmm. Whoa. But what if you sneak in because you just lived there in Africa and then you moved here later. That's and, just all so
yeah,
crazy.
You moved here later and like nobody in your family was ever a slave or...
That's terrible.
It is. Chief among the task force recommendations was the creation of CAFAs as a cabinet level agency to implement any of the task force recommendations that are enacted by the state legislature and signed by the governor.
Honestly, that would be like a top tier level type of scam if somebody from Africa right now moves here and, you know, creates a fake identity for themselves, applies for reparations, gets $1.2 million from the state of California.
That's genius.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, we do have a caller hanging on the line, so I'm going to go to Renee in Louisiana. Renee, what's on your mind?
Oh, well, you already put some stuff on my mind just listening to you. I have a bunch of what ifs over that subject, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What if somebody with ancestry who's black, who had a black slave owning ancestor, well, how would they treat them if they found out their genealogy?
The That's a really good question.
Black slaves. Yeah, how about that? Another thing is if I married a black lady like half my age, would I be off the hook? Because my kids would be mixed when I get off the hook for that with the tax and all that.
I think they're still going to tax.
Win-win. I'll get a woman. I get my tax break.
Yeah. It's just a silly thing to presume that we need to give reparations to people.
Is it going to be like the stimulus checks too, where like each kid gets $1.2 million?
Whoa.
Are they people in the eyes of this bill?
I mean, at that point.
I have one more thing. I'm French ancestry. Does the Italians owe me some money for when the Roman Empire owned part of France?
Right. That's such a good point. Like, how far back do these things go? Like, I'm sure that I could find some situation where my ancestors were a victim of something in the past. Like, how far back do I have to go? Like, you know, like, it is exactly what Renee said. Like, it only matters what race is doing what. It's kind of ridiculous.
Can I leave y'all on a real good note?
Yeah.
For the left and the right, the big tech companies that love trees and green and windmills, and the right that loves business and righteousness, how about a planned obsolescence tax for all them poison stuff that gets in the landfill? A planned obsolescence. I don't know how you'd legislate it. I don't know how you'd research it. It might be a nightmare. What the hell? All them batteries and stuff getting in the landfill and the water? Certainly the big tech companies be worried about all that green energy and health environment and stuff.
All those electric vehicles with batteries masks. That could be disposable.
Well, thank you for the call, Renee. I guess masks doesn't make sense in that situation because one of Renee's like topics he talks about a lot is planned obsolescence.
Uh-huh.
And it means that like the chargers on phones. So like iPhone the company actually doesn't make all their money via selling the phones. They actually take a loss. I thought that was so shocking considering one how expensive they are. But I guess it's like with the
that's why they want power. That's why they want to sell you all the accessories so they can
right.
Keep
so
the
like
cheap.
With the human power that it makes to takes to make them, and also all the stuff that it's made of, like you know, Silver Day was saying, there's silver in it. It's actually worth more than the price they sell it for you or sell it to you for. So they need you to buy all of the things like chargers and stuff like that. And they have they literally have a plan that it will become obsolete one day by either just being cheap and breaking, or just like slowly breaking down on purpose. Like, I swear, every cell phone I've ever had, over time, it's like, why would it be that it just starts running all crappily and slow when I'm like treating it right? Seems to happen right after updates.
Apple had been caught before.
I remember that throttling
people's phones during updates, like older phones.
Well, and they pretend to not do that, but we all know they're still kind of doing it.
I think they got caught out for doing it.
Like, I felt like they did. Yeah. Got found out that they really did actually do that. But it's so obvious to me, and it's every phone I've ever had. And like, I've only ever had two iPhones, so it's like every other phone I've had too, like Galaxies. Yeah. It really seems like over time they just start to degrade in this way that seems so unnatural.
And there was a while there where every single phone you got, like even within the same company of phones, like the same brand, had a different charger.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you
yeah.
needed 10 different chargers just to charge a couple things, you know?
Yeah. But one thing I have to say about that is I don't think taxes are going to help that situation at all. It's just going to make
and
people poorer.
I know that Europe recently ruled that every phone company has to have the same charger, and I don't know if that's going to fix anything either.
Oh, yeah, I remember that too. I forgot about that.
What'll fix it is people stop lining up to buy a new iPhone when you have an iPhone that already works.
Yeah. That's such a good point. I can't believe the people that do that. Like, so many people in my life do that, and I'm just like, wow, what? Like, why though? Like, it feels like you just got a new phone.
Yeah, you have last year's phone, and now you're going to spend another $1,000 to get another phone.
Well, you see, I have the plan, so I just
this one comes
in
rose gold.
I got a discount because of my old plan.
And I'm perpetually in debt now.
Yeah, seriously.
Congratulations, sucker.
I can't even wrap my head around getting in debt for an iPhone. Like, I always pay them all up front, you know?
Yeah.
The camera that I'm going to take terrible pictures of things that nobody wants to see is slightly better.
The new iPhone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Well, do we have more on the story about DNA testing for operations?
Yeah.
I just think that is absolutely crazy, the idea that people really believe that they're owed money for something that happened to their ancestors. Like, my ancestors were, really hurt by the war that the North did to the South, and it literally stopped them from being able to progress as much, economically.
Should we now pay them reparations, too?
I don't want reparations, but it's the same exact situation.
It is.
Wow. I mean, like, if I could claim that, if my ancestors hadn't been, bombed and stuff by the North during the Civil War, then they might have made more money, which they might have passed on to me. And that's all mites too. I mean, right? Because, like, you don't necessarily aren't guaranteed that your family preserved their wealth throughout history just because they didn't get bombed and stuff or whatever. But if I could try to make that point, would I get reparations too? No, probably not, because that's not what it's about. It's about following the current. I don't even know why they do some of these things. It's just like going with the current thing, and right now the current thing is giving reparations to people whose ancestors were slaves this time.
They're trying to increase racial friction and make race wars happen.
Yep. That's definitely.
They want to make sure everyone's divided so they can easily be conquered.
It's silly too, because like my dad is from Portugal, and the Portuguese have a long, terrible history of conquering people. So I owe everybody money,
even though
my family from Portugal was on a small, tiny little island, poor farmers. Like they didn't do anything, so why? Yeah. Why would that even?
It's just this collective guilt that people are experiencing over things, and it's unhealthy.
That you didn't do, you're told your whole life that you're supposed to feel bad about everything.
And it's like virtue signaling too. Like, and if you were like, I want to give money to the people that Portugal imperialized, colonized with their imperialism.
We want to help save the people from colonialism, because we feel so bad about colonialism.
It's just crazy. It's like, even if bad things happened in the past, it has nothing. If I didn't do it, I don't owe anyone money.
Yeah, if you feel bad about something, you know, do your best to fix it yourself. Don't demand that I fix it for you.
Yeah, the other thing is, like, live your life as a better person than your ancestors did. That's the best way to pay people back.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about anything that my ancestors did because I didn't do it.
Right.
Yeah. I wish they didn't do those things, but I had no involvement. I had no way to stop it from happening. So why should I be held responsible for it?
Yeah, that's such a good point. Even if, like, your own parents did something bad, you shouldn't feel guilty. In fact, you'd probably be less likely to feel guilty. You'd be like, well, of course I don't feel bad. That's what my parents did, not what I did.
Yeah, not what I did. I didn't do it. Just like your kids. Like those people that got charged with manslaughter because their kid killed somebody or killed some people.
Whoa, oh yeah.
The Ethan Chapin. Was that his name?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I just know it's happened.
It might be another school shooter. Yeah. There's so many school shooters. I can't keep their trade.
I think it was New York, Buffalo, New York, but... Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, so they got charged for their kid killing people because they provided him with a gun and didn't get him mental
health.
And
the school was the one that told those parents, like, you should put your kid on SSRIs.
Mm.
So the school doesn't get, any charges for suggesting that these parents put their kid on SSRIs.
And SSRIs are so dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they're even more dangerous than weed.
A side effect that they can, do to people is homicidal thoughts.
Yep.
So this has been Free Talk Live. Thank you for listening. You can find more at freetalklive.com. And if you're in New Hampshire, do come to Riley's 420 rally at the Concord State House on April 20th at 420. Thank you for listening and peace.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warda.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.